Let's get back to the action.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
It's the dawn of a new day. The world awakens. The birds twitter. A rooster crows. And soon, as always, will come that sound of music.
Ryan Seacrest, bitten by a shark. How vicious was the attack?
Don't believe anything they say. Allegedly, it's not true.
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
You're right about that.
W-O-W. Wow.
And now, TV and radio host Ryan Seacrest died this week in a bar fight at a bar his reps won't admit he was at. Seacrest was best known by fans of American Idol, E! Entertainment Television, and mediocrity in general. Seacrest will likely not be remembered.
Our feature presentation.
And he used the word W-O-W.
Yes, he did, in fact.
Spelled it. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:32. It's Monday, the 26th of January.
Yesterday afternoon, Parker offered a cookie to Cindy Lou Peoples if she would show him her vagina. What kind of cookie?
Okay, good question. We're going to take your phone calls, the Monday morning edition of Kevin Means What to Do Nephew. Get on the air, get a prize, 1-800-520-1067. How long has it been since we've done Million Dollar Ideas as a call-in, by the way? Listeners who have a suggestion for a product that doesn't exist, and if somebody would just make it, it would be worth a mint.
I don't know. It's probably been a year.
Yeah. Seems like it's been a while.
May have been longer than that. Yeah. Why, you got another one? You got a new one?
You know, man, I'm unstoppable. You know that.
You are. That's the one thing we know about you.
I can't prevent myself from coming up with million-dollar ideas.
This world cannot contain you.
I know. Yeah. And no matter how many I say on the air, no one else thinks they're worth pursuing.
By the way,
no one else seems they're worth making.
And I've thought 2,000 times in the last, 5 years since you brought it up, of the remote that you could punch in the, you know, the channel.
Me too.
Because there's no other way really to find it except for to scan.
It's such a great idea. Why the hell won't you do anything about it?
It's not my job.
Stupid guy with bad ideas. Good ideas and bad follow through.
I have a new million-dollar idea. Right. And again, you can call on any topic, even if you have a million-dollar idea that you've been dying to get out there for somebody. Of course, you have to be, you know, willing to give it up to somebody else to make all the money off of it if it, in fact, gets made. But you know, my little Veruca, who got spayed last week, my 6-month-old puppy. No, you're gonna like this one. Oh. I think. I mean, Donna thinks it's dumb, but I think it's good. So you tell me what you guys think. This is market research.
Does it involve you selling dog parts?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, I'm just checking because there was some conversation on Friday that made me very uncomfortable.
Well, I wanted to see some photos of the surgery.
All right, back to you.
All right, so she's been uncomfortable and she's been a little needy and she's been crying at night because, you know, rather than she can't be in with the other puppies because they can't roughhouse and pull out her stitches, so she has to be in a crate by herself, right? So she's been wanting to come upstairs and sleep with us, so she's been crying. And it's impossible to stop her. So here's the million-dollar idea. Tell me why this wouldn't work. Earplugs for dogs.
Earplugs for dogs. So that they don't hear things that make them bark?
No. So that they don't hear the noise that they're making to try to get you to wake up and come down and let them up into bed with you. Because if they – you know, that's why they whine is because they're, you know, trying to get you to respond. But if they can't hear themselves going, then they stop doing it. Or do they?
I don't think they do.
I don't know. I would doubt. It seems like dogs have endless energy to make that noise, like forever.
But why would they make that noise if they can't hear it, though, is what I'm saying.
I have a million-dollar idea. Hey, Ralph, I have a million-dollar idea. How about fewer puppies, mother effer?
Well, of course.
That's how about that? That'll save you some time and energy and money.
All right, Ralph, go ahead and shoot my idea down.
Do you think for a second if you put earplugs in a dog's ears, they won't hear themselves?
That's what I was wondering.
Yes, he does.
You still
you
do.
You don't hear yourself when you hear you feel the vibrations in your throat of yourself talking. You don't hear yourself.
Of course you do.
In.
You hear it in your head is a natural conductor of sound. There are echoes throughout your sinuses. If you could put your hands over your ears and talk, you will still hear yourself.
Very, very muted, though. Try it.
It turned out, have better hearing than us.
Yeah.
Infinitely better hearing. And they will absolutely hear themselves regardless of what earplugs you put in.
I don't think that's so. I mean, I think they'll
be
aware
that they're... I know you don't think it's so,
but it is. They'll be aware that they're making the noise, but it won't be nearly so loud. And I think that it will discourage them from feeling like it would work.
Because you they know, think it's not
they rationalize
loud enough,
that out?
You give them too much to credit. It's instinctive.
Donna They're says that cry. They would just figure out a way to take the earplugs out and eat them anyway. I mean, that's
well,
her
sure,
big,
of
that's
course,
her big flaw.
That's part A. But part B is they'll hear themselves anyway. And
if you have earplugs in and you stub your toe, do you not scream because it doesn't hurt?
Put your fingers in your ears and start talking, and you'll hear it. It's a thousandth as loud as it is when you have your ears unplugged.
But the sound that you're making due to some stimulus has nothing to do whether you hear it or not.
Plus, I don't think dogs can tell that this isn't loud enough for the human being, which happens to be a certain amount of feet away from me, can hear and come. I mean, I think they make a noise because they want to make a noise because they want somebody.
It's a reaction to whatever they're feeling.
Yeah.
Right, because they're trying to get you to wake up and come downstairs and bring them into bed with you.
Right, but
and
they don't have a concept of how loud that needs to be.
Well, Bean's not hearing it, so it's no point in me whining anymore.
Exactly. Thank you, Ralph.
No, they don't think that way.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
I'm saying not $1 million idea.
They should take $1 million away from you for that idea. You should lose money on that idea.
I'm telling you that it would work, and I'm telling you that somebody's going to do it and become rich. That's
I think
all
you
I'm
should
saying.
Take your fingers, put them in your ears, and keep pressing. Keep pressing on both sides until they meet in the middle.
Do that today.
All right, let's take some calls, including another $1 million idea that we have on the phone.
1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, we gotta stop Lightning from being involved.
Why?
It can't be motocross every single week as the prize, can it?
Sure.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with the AMA Supercross coming to Angel Stadium on Saturday, February 7th.
That's awesome.
Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. But every single week is something that involves cars.
It is a lot, but I would like to suggest it's too much for the calls we normally get.
Well, there is that.
I don't think we need to step that up at all. All right, let's start with Chris in Los Angeles, who has your back on this dog earplug idea.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, hey, boo?
What it do?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's about the stupidest idea I've ever heard, putting earplugs in a dog's ears, because that's about, like, putting earplugs in a crying baby's ears, and that just wouldn't work. It's not
Hey, earplugs for crying babies.
That's a great idea.
They wouldn't hear it, and they would stop.
Most people put them in their ears,
that's
not the other.
That's the best.
But you can't put them in your ears if you still want to hear your alarm clock to wake up in the morning and other things that you need to hear. That's why, well, you're wrong, Chris, but thanks for calling. Hang on to your prize.
All right, let's go to Andrew in Fontana. Good morning, Andrew. What'd it do?
What'd it do?
What's going on, being impressionist?
Guys, just to let you know, there is a remote control that you can just touch the touchscreen and it'll automatically punch the channel that you want. It's the Logitech Harmony One. It's been out for about a year.
You mean you can look up, like, if you want to watch basketball on TBS or TNT or something, you can type in TNT?
Yeah, you can literally, and you can download the little logo for, like, you know how they have it at the bottom of the corner, the TNT logo, the TBS logo, the NBC logo. You can literally download.
So you don't type it in, you just have a touch screen with a button for each channel.
It's an LCD touch screen, and there's like 6 or 8 channels per screen, and you can
flip
them page per page. Touch the button, and
but,
bam.
But wait a minute, Andrew. If you're going to do 6 per screen, that's the same thing as scrolling through on a regular remote. I mean,
if
unless they're in alphabetical order.
Channels, no, you can arrange them in whatever order you want. Mm. But per page, it's about 8 channels per page, and you just touch the little arrow to go to the next page.
I think what we're saying is rather than have to scroll down to, let's say you don't watch TBS all the time, but it's the 4th channel on your scrolling screen, it would take less time to just type in TBS on a little touchpad, is what we're saying.
Yeah, you could, but there's 8 little channels per page, though.
Really? You hadn't said that. Thanks for the call.
3 or 4 times.
By the way, there's 6 on the grid thing that you do. So, I mean, that's the same thing.
Yeah. No, Bean's idea that will never, ever happen because he's a lazy ass is much better.
All right. Let's.
But if you're wearing earplugs, then you can't even hear the channel you're watching.
Let's go to Matt in Lomita. Maybe he can shed some light on this. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. What did you do, baby boo? What did you do, nephew?
What did you do,
What's
Matt?
Going on?
Hey, I'm gonna have to disprove your earplug theories for dogs. My ex-girlfriend had a deaf-legged Dalmatian, and that thing barked all the time.
The deaf dog barked all the time?
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Mm. That is interesting.
Okay,
all right, well,
they can still feel the vibrations just like we can. Like they
Well, I'm not
still
saying
that.
I'm not saying that Veruca wouldn't know she was still crying. I'm just saying I think it would seem less effective to her because she wouldn't be able to hear it. It wouldn't be very loud. That's
his
all
deaf dog
suggesting.
Barked all the time.
But I think that's because that's all his deaf dog knew his whole life, though. Well, his deaf dog How's is aware different? Of his deaf dog doesn't know the whole sound thing.
But is Veruca crying so that you'll come get her, or is she also crying because she's just really sad and lonely?
No, she just wants to come to bed.
She just wants, to figure out a way to commit doggy suicide.
No,
she does not like having with you. She does not enjoy it.
Thank you for the call.
All right,
let's try James in Garden Grove on line two. Speaking of, like me with my doggy earplugs. Here's a guy who's fighting an unwinnable war. Hi, James. Welcome to the show. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What's going on?
Hey, okay, so I can't stand how freaking kids talk these days. Everybody's like text messaging, OMG, B-R-I-B.
O-M-F-G.
Exactly.
James, how old are you, James?
I'm 26.
You're too young to become an old man.
He's 26 going on 76.
Yeah.
Pretty
much. I got gray hair, I got a receding hairline. Yeah, no good. Yeah.
You can't stop progress, man. You're just being left behind and you're giving up at 26.
What about those kids and their rock music? What about that?
Damn rock music kids. I can't stand them.
All right, come back to us, James.
Nothing he can do.
One more, let's go to Rudy in Grand Terrace. Good morning, Rudy.
What about those Lakers?
I hear the Laker era is over. That's what Clipper Daryl told me.
That is incorrect.
Well, he needs to wake up, dude, because the way the Spurs looked yesterday, terrible.
Yeah, they destroyed San Antonio. Kobe didn't even have to play in the most of the second
really?
Half almost. Yeah.
No, he didn't. So, you know, bring on those Celtics, and after that, the Cavaliers, and we will beat them.
There you go. Bold prediction. Unless, you know what we should do is we should put earplugs in their ears.
Aha!
That seems to be the answer to everything.
You guys don't know, man.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Speaking of OMFG and LOL and all that, Twitter is perhaps the most useful thing that's come along in quite some time.
I met some Twitterers over the weekend.
It allowed
the
biggest time waster in world history.
How dare you?
One of the two. I'm just saying. It's one of those two things.
I need to let people constantly know what I'm doing right this second.
Yeah.
And for that, there's nothing better.
And they're interested, apparently.
I mean, I could call them all, but that would be a lot of calls.
Right now, I'm talking about Twittering. You would Twitter.
I see here that we have a new game show today. Can Kevin repeat this? That seems bad.
I like the title.
That doesn't seem good.
Mike, it would be too much trouble to find the promo announcement that inspired this new game, wouldn't it?
I will try hard, but don't count on it.
Yeah, it's not possible.
We can do it later, but we did find out on Friday that Kevin is incapable of repeating more than about four or five words.
Oh, you found that a long time ago, dude. 5531, apparently, I'm being told.
Okay. This is going to be worth it. You people are going to love it.
K-Rox World Tour 2009, destination number one, the grand prize of U2 in London. We're going to do that grand prize drawing at 7:15.
Okay.
All right. Here's what Bean's referring
to. Oh, I hate Monday mornings. It's so hard to get up and get to school and or work.
So I say, would it help to know you can listen to the Kevin and Bean Show or something?
You tried waking up and turning on the always entertaining and often informative Kevin and Bean Show?
Have you tried rolling over and turning on the always informative and... What would cause me to even try that? Have you thought of rolling over and turning on the entertaining and always? Come on, now I can't do it. And f*** you both, because you're just going to go bleed that in.
Well, of course we are, but give us more. Come on, try it again. You can do
that. What's the point?
Have you tried rolling over and turning on the always entertaining and equally informative Kevin Beecher? Try it again.
Just what you said. Next.
Try it again.
I'm not going to try it again.
See you Monday.
J-Rock. O-M-F-G.
And Elizabeth Banks on the program today. From the new movie The Uninvited. She's scary.
So good.
We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
By the way, did we mention Xbox 360s and Madden 09 on the program today? We mentioned we're giving that stuff away?
We did not mention that, no.
That is coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning here on the world-famous K-Rock. Last night was the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which I think is the last of the big awards before the Oscars.
I think you're right.
And A lot of people like to watch this one because the actors are the largest voting block of the Academy Awards. So who wins the SAG Acting Awards is oftentimes a pretty good indication of who's going to win the Oscar. And one of the things that they do on this show is they start the program, and it's in a big ballroom where everybody's sitting around tables and everything. And they have five or six people who give a little speech about why they're an actor. And there were a couple last night that were very funny. Just real quick, here's the great Will Arnett, who's on 30 Rock now, of course, talking about why he's an actor.
I've talked my way out of 11 fights. I've cried more this year than most women do in a lifetime. Wherever I go, I seek out a mirror. And when one's not available, I'll make do with a car window or a dark picture. I'm Will Arnett, and I'm an alcoholic actor.
Why is he always so funny, Will Arnett? I miss him so much now that, you know, obviously he's on 30 Rock, but he was so great on Arrested Development. The guy just, I don't see him in enough stuff, but he's awesome.
Yeah, he's always good.
Ralph makes a bunch of movies.
He does make a bunch of movies.
He does make movies,
do that.
Yeah.
So if you miss him, you can go to his movies, I guess.
Did you you watch the show last night? Very entertaining, was it, Ralph?
It was. I always love the SAGs. It is, in my opinion, along with the Golden Globes, the best award shows of the year because they allow alcohol.
Right.
Oh, this is one of them.
Loosens everyone where they can up, drink. And everyone has a good time. Yeah,
excellent.
And talk about your star power too, because you don't have all those crappy, you know, like sound guys walking around the room. You know, all those people that aren't important. It's just the stars,
sound
celebrities.
Guys.
That's right.
Crappy sound guys.
All right, it's 5:53 Monday morning. Ralph has all the showbiz stuff for a Monday. What's going on?
Before we get to the annual Screen Actors Guild Awards that were held last night, let's take a look, as we do every Monday morning, to the top 10 movies in the box office over the weekend. Congratulations, Paul Blart Mall Cop.
OMFG.
Once again, you are number one at the box office. Kevin's people run the world. That's the problem.
They do. The sooner you guys accept that, the better.
No, I'm fighting. Viva la resistance. I am still underground with the weapons. I'm like Daniel Craig in Defiance. I will not be taken over by the stupid Nazis.
I don't know how Kevin's doing it, but he's got Paul Blart at number one. He's got the Arizona Cardinals in the Super Bowl. It's just like he's pulling the strings, man.
I run
that
things.
Works. Underworld Rise of the Lycans.
How much did the
two.
Paul Blart make, Ralph?
Paul Blart made $21.5 million this weekend.
That's crazy. Unbelievable for a second weekend.
Yeah. That's now it's $9 billion it's made at the box office.
Underworld was good. I like that movie.
Rise of the Lycans made $20.7 million. Made it a close number two. Gran Torino came in number three with $16 million additional dollars. Hotel for Dogs came in at number four.
What happens in that movie, Ralph? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure of the concept of Hotel for Dogs. I'm not. I have to look into it and see what that movie's all about, that all Hotel right. for Dogs.
Let us know.
Hope they come up with some funny contraption to feed the dogs with a tennis racket, though. I hope that happens in the movie.
They have it.
They have
what?
That in there? Oh, awesome. That's
you're kidding.
That sounds even better than I expected.
It's in there.
I hope the dogs get facials and put cucumber slices on their eyes.
That's in it.
What? Yeah. That's in there, too?
OMFG.
Oh, this sounds like the greatest movie ever. Because, you know, dogs love, above all, well, you know, they love to chew a good slipper.
Yeah.
Other than that, they love cucumber slices on their eyes. You know, dogs love that.
It's true.
No, I'm in the kitchen slicing no cucumbers. Out. Reggie just comes and just sits at my feet until I place a cucumber slice on each eye. And he can relax with a towel around his head and a robe.
I was thinking of going to see that, but I didn't want to go if there's no dogs driving little cars so they don't have to walk around the house.
Wait! I believe there's a car in the movie that drives a dog in the movie drives a little car.
It's in there.
That's so good.
Sounds great. I just wish there was a vending machine full of old shoes that they could hit a button and it would drop to the bottom like a candy bar and then they could pull it out and chew on it.
It's in there.
What?
Stop it, Mike. This is too good to be
Let's
true.
Let's just cancel the show and all go to a 5:56 showing of Hotel for Dogs.
Done.
F that movie.
No earplugs, though.
No earplugs for dogs. That's the sequel.
Wait, why do we put earplugs in the ears of racing drivers? That way their cars won't make any noise.
Sounds like faulty logic to me.
Slumdog Millionaire is number five. My Bloody Valentine 3D came in at number six. Inkheart, Bride Wars, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Notorious running out your... Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Gotta do it.
Last night was the 15th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards. In case you missed it, here are your big winners. Best actor in a television movie or miniseries. Once again, Paul Giamatti, Cleaning House with that John Adams. America loves its second president. That's all I know. Best actress in a television movie or miniseries. Laura Linney for the same product. John Adams, actor in a drama series. My boy, you, Laurie. You, Lori, coming through.
That's Hugh, for those of you that aren't from Philadelphia.
You, Lori. Yeah. You, Lori. One for his role in House, Best Actress in a Drama Series. How many times did Lisa vote for the SAGs? Sally Field from Brothers and Sisters won for Best Actress in a Drama.
Wow.
Go, Sally.
And when
go
they
Sally.
Announced it, everyone in the room looked around and said, Brothers and Sisters? Is there a show?
She's working.
There was a clip that they, I don't know how, this is like an elaborate prank that Lisa and her Hollywood friends are pulling on the rest of us, because they pretend that there's a show called Brothers and Sisters, and they have every actor in the world in it. Listen to the clip that they played of Sally Field last night from this show, and you tell me if this is, it sounds like a real show.
You never loved anyone but yourself and your stupid penis!
They're just making stuff up now, right?
How many times has Lisa screamed that out the window, by the way, as some guy was leaving?
Wow. True to life.
Ensemble in a Drama Series. Best Ensemble, Mad Men, the cast of Mad Men. No complaints there. Best Ensemble in a Comedy Series, 30 Rock.
Yeah.
30 Rock did pretty well for itself. It also won Actor and Actress in a Comedy Series for Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey. And the Lifetime Achievement Award was given to James Earl Jones, who just, oh, that voice. Listen to him all day long.
You're watching CNN.
Yeah.
Luke, I am your father. By Horizon.
Remember what he said?
Open wide for Chunky.
I don't think that was Jimmy Earl.
Oh.
I think that was someone else. Speaking of Mad Men, over the weekend, interesting news. We all found out that Mad Men star Elizabeth Moss was engaged, not just dating, but engaged to Saturday Night Live star Fred Armisen.
I was so surprised to see them sitting together last night. I thought, what's that about? Now we know.
They are engaged and just started dating not too long ago, apparently. So it's a whirlwind romance. Congratulations to those guys. He's a good-looking fella, Elizabeth. Nice work.
He's the guy who does Barack Obama on Saturday Night Live, if you're not picturing.
Yes, he does. She wasn't at the awards last night, but I think of her when I think of 30 Rock this season. Are you watching Salma Hayek on 30 Rock this season?
Yeah.
Is that just insane?
Yes, that's insane.
Her in that dress the other night while they were going out in the town, her and Alec Baldwin's character?
Yep.
Come on with that!
She was in the park for that Kings and Air or whatever? Come on with that.
That was her first episode. In the second episode, they go out on the town and she's wearing a low-cut thing, waiting for him to show up at the apartment. She's twirling around, just her boobs are just massive.
Come on with the come on.
They are.
Anyway, apparently Salma proves that it's a good idea for you to get sober, Kevin.
What?
Apparently, when she was backstage at the Golden Globes in 2004, she hooked up with Colin Farrell.
Really?
Yeah, they met backstage and hooked up that evening.
Oh.
But he was too much of a party boy for her at the time. Well, they ran into each other yet again at the Golden Globes.
Mm-hmm.
And Salma was so impressed by how Colin has cleaned up her act.
His act.
That the two of them are apparently rumored as being interested in each other.
Interesting.
Hitting it again. Yeah.
Oh, I need a drink.
Look, drinking or Salma Hayek, those are your choices. Put that bottle down, I say. Putting that bottle down.
I read the other day that whenever Penelope Cruz comes to town, and she's been in town a lot lately for all the nominations and award shows, she stays at Salma Hayek's house.
Yeah, they're best friends.
Can you?
That's the best.
Webcam. Think about that for a moment.
Yeah. And they have pillow fights.
Webcam.
They have to.
Yeah. And just G-strings.
They do.
And they share a bathroom.
That happens.
They get so sweaty, they have to take a bath together, wash each other.
That happens, right, Lisa?
And they cuddle up next to each other in just like a twin bed. There's no room to sleep in Salma's house, so they have to get together in one small twin bed.
Tell me you're going to stop.
That vibrates. It's a vibrating twin bed.
Why would we stop? We want that to continue.
That was a mistake. I wasn't going to say anything, but that was a complete mistake.
Today's celebrity birthdays, legendary Van Halen guitarist Eddie Van Halen turns 54 years old today. Talk show host Ellen DeGeneres is 51. The great one, Wayne Gretzky, 48 years old today. And actress Sarah Rue, she was very funny on that show. What the hell was her show?
Brothers and Sisters.
No, All-American Girl? No, that was Margaret Cho.
American Dream.
And Nobody's Perfect? Nothing but Perfect? Perfectly Nobody?
Perfect Strangers.
Perfect Strangers? No, something like that.
Less than Perfect.
Less than Perfect.
I'm being
She was go. The sort of the chubby redhead who was on that show. She was very funny on that show. She is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I'm a little bit tired of people wanting me to have a Facebook page. I'm starting to get a lot of heat in that area. Mm-hmm. And I'm especially tired of the nonstop, constant barrage of why don't you Twitter? Because that seems to be every day somebody's asking me why I'm not Twittering. Like I have some sort of responsibility to Twitter.
You do, dude.
Like I'm a bad person if I don't Twitter.
Hey, Lightning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Former producer of the Kevin DeBede Show, Lightning, who, of course, now does excellent work over there at KRock.com. He's one of the guys. He's one of the guys who's been saying, hey, guys, why don't you Twitter? Everybody's Twittering. Kids love Twitter. You guys should be Twittering. Because we have a radio show, and if people want to know what Kevin and Bean are doing, there's a thing called a radio that they can turn on and they can hear what Kevin and Bean are doing. What beyond that do we need to do to let people know?
But not at 2 in the morning. See,
because we're
following MC Hammer on our Twitter page, and that's what's special, because he's doing stuff at 2 in the morning.
What's he talking about?
Listen, so Twitter, you can follow people around the clock.
Right.
But
Lightning, correct me if I'm wrong. But the question is, what are you doing? And no, I mean, that's the question. If you go to Twitter.com or whatever,
right,
what do you do? And that's right. That's basically what you tell people is what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm at McDonald's drinking a cup of coffee. I'm pulling out into, lane 2. Whatever you're doing, that's what you're Twittering
okay.
about.
And Lightning wants us to do that so that we can let people know what we're doing. And we have the contention that people that want to know what we're doing can turn on the radio. That's what it seems
here
like to us.
Here we are. Nothing secret.
So I went to Twitter, Lightning, and I printed out some of the stuff that's on Twitter. And the very, very important stuff, like Chase Marcel says, one of those days. Yes. Extra Manhead says, I mean it. No thanks are necessary, dear. VJ of W Squad says, make a wish. Blueology, no closets, no problem. Just an opportunity to buy some armoires.
What?
I don't know. I don't understand why people do this. I really...
Now, folks who have never heard the word Twitter, we ought to back up one step and say basically what it is it's like a text message that you can get on the internet or, on your phone or whatever it is. And it has to be small, Lightning. What's the cap on how many letters you're allowed to use each post?
I believe it's 160 characters.
Okay, so it's not like it's not like a blog that somebody sits down and writes a page. It's really just a short sentence. It's a sentence or a short paragraph about what you're doing. But I don't know why everybody needs to be connected with everybody else 24 hours a day. That's what I don't understand. And why would it be interesting to people?
That's the problem.
If Kevin or I would at 5 o'clock in the afternoon write, "Hey, I'm watching Bill O'Reilly." I mean, why is that interesting to people?
I think because like you guys have a radio show, you get to talk about the major stuff. All the things that affect many, many people. And Twitter is a way of, cutting down into the minutiae. Into just took out the trash. Well, I don't know. I think.
Okay, but hold it right there. Hold it right there. Hold it right there. Let me just say this. Yeah. If you just took out the trash, I don't think anyone needs to know that. I think everybody's fine without that update.
We kind of do actually pick and choose what we put on the air.
That's kind of.
A little bit.
I know, but see, that's the beauty of Twitter is that
you don't pick and choose.
And listen, no one's forcing you to sign up to follow someone. No one's forcing anyone to follow K-Rock's Twitter.
I'm going to follow Amanda. I'm going to follow Amanda JM15, who says, "Woo, LOL, me and Jake's just had a wooing fest." LOL. Yes.
Listen, I'm not defending the whole thing. I'm just saying that we're participating because we can basically I opened up to a collective of people at the station. So you've got phone ops who are twittering on behalf of K-Rock, some jocks, some programming staff. And it's around the clock, just some random thoughts about stuff that's happening behind the scenes. Like, for instance, Jed won't go on the air and say, by the way, I'm doing my shift naked.
Right.
And yet we can go on and Twitter about something like that. And the listeners who are following us get a little piece of insight that the average person, the average character listener, wouldn't have received.
But that's exceptional, Lightning. I mean, that's one out of every 7,000 Twitters. The rest of them are all like, man, my head hurts. we don't do anything important enough that
people need to know. We're going to take some calls, by the way. We have a two-pronged question for you. One, if you have some reason why we should Twitter, I want to hear about it because clearly Lightning doesn't have one. He certainly hasn't offered us one yet that makes any sense for us to bother. So if you think we should Twitter and what we should Twitter about, please let us know. And more importantly, if you have Twitters that you follow that you love, if somehow you're really into it, tell us why, because so far, and Kevin's doing a fantastic job of pointing out what the majority of Twitter messages seem to be, so far I'm not really seeing the point of investing in this technology. You can call us now at 1-800-520-1067. Lightning, you do sound a little bit like, like a presidential press secretary who has to go out there and sell the president's idea, and he knows it's bogus, but it's his job to try to present it as, oh, no, I think this is really, really good for America. And yeah. he knows it's retarded. You sound like you don't even believe it. You haven't even been able to come up with one decent reason why Kevin and Bean should Twitter.
I was fighting the notion. I got to be honest with you. I was fighting the Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then I found a couple that were really bizarre, and I thought, you know what, will it hurt us to Twitter? And the answer is no. Now, if you're sitting there 24 hours a day and you're actually stopping your normal life to tell people what you're doing, well, then you're just twittering about twittering, and then it's come full circle, and it's a complete waste of time.
But like, really, honestly, if you look through it, it's 99% a waste of time.
Yeah.
And I can understand why, I guess, people who are completely bored. But I can't imagine, like, sitting down and going, okay, we just got off the air. Now I'm sitting down, and I'm going to tell someone about that. It just seems stuff that's not important.
Well, it is. It's also a way for a lot of people to be, like, miniature stars, in a way. You know, there you got a group of friends, maybe you got 20 close friends, and you can Twitter, and they're all following you. You're, like, the star of your group. Even though the stuff you're talking about is retarded, you're the celebrity of your group because you're the one that everyone are following. I think it's got a little bit to do with that. You know, the Paris Hilton thing. You know, Paris Hilton doesn't do anything that anyone really cares about, but we all follow her. And it's kind of it's a small.
She did the sex tape that we all cared about.
We did care about that. Yeah.
That was good.
You got me there.
Although I would have preferred better lighting. Hey, do you Twitter Lightning?
Not personally. No, I don't.
Are there Twitters that you follow that you find entertaining?
I at the beginning of the conversation, I brought the MC Hammer. I did that as a joke. I follow TMZ, CNN, and, you know, because they have breaking news that they'll post up, and it's sent to my mobile phone, so I get it around the clock. But I just as a joke, I'm like, hey, MC Hammer, and it came up, and I started following him. And he was talking about a trip to New York and then to D.C., and then he was talking about the inauguration. And it was actually kind of interesting. He's like, "Night tweets," and he's talking to me, you know, as if I'm watching a television show. It was very surreal following him. And I'm like, it was just...
I guess if there are people who do something creative with it, it would be worth it. But it seems to me like I have a lot of crap that no one would care about. So I really don't have anything to say.
He's kind of different.
Kevin, that's where you're wrong, though, is that people actually do care about the crap. It's the mundane thing, the mundane things that you're blowing off that the average person does care about.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say wrong and wrong.
I'm telling you that, like, for instance, when we do a video about the behind-the-scenes...
people like the behind-the-scenes stuff of people that they can only see publicly.
Correct.
That's what you're saying. Is they like a private. All right. Let's take a quick call here. Jason is in Brea. He's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're looking for people who Twitter to tell us why we should do it, why you do it, why it's good. Because frankly, Lightning is making me want to bomb Twitter.com. He really is. He's making me want to blow them out of existence.
He's not Jason, a great salesperson.
What say you?
You know what? I think what it comes down to is, like Lightning saying, it's the main stuff. It's like, it's just the day-to-day stuff that people want to know what other people are doing.
But I'm going to suggest no, they don't.
Well, you know what? Think it like this. Lightning's trying to get across it. You guys are doing your show and you're doing your daily updates, but there's stuff that you can put on there that you can't put on the air. Like, let's say you want to bash Ryan Seacrest.
Right.
You could go out there and type out, Ryan Seacrest is effing gay. But
allegedly.
You can't say that over the air. You can put that online.
Yeah.
But here's the question that we had for Lightning, Jason. We have a radio show. If we wanted to say that Ryan Seacrest is effing gay, allegedly, we could say it on the air. We don't have to type it to somebody.
Yeah, but it's got more punch when you could see it typed out.
All right.
All right, Jason. Has more punch. That's
has
what we
more
think.
Punch. Thank you
so,
for the call.
We're wasting our time doing a radio show. We should just be Twittering because that's where the punch is. That's where the real impact is getting it on your cell phone.
Lightning, how do people get the K-Rock Twitter?
You.
MC Hammer, Twitters. Just got in from Bourbon Street. The spirit of New Orleans lives. I'll visit the rest of the city tomorrow.
Oh, thank God. Thank God we've got that minute-by-minute update from a guy who was popular in 1988. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Yes, the grand prize drawing of a trip to see U2 in London next hour. Yes, we've got your Xbox 360 and Madden 09. Right now, though, we're trying to decide whether we should disregard Lightning's latest idea, which is Kevin and Bean start Twittering, like we do all of his other bad ideas.
Yeah.
Or if he's really on to something, is there a reason that Twittering is so popular? So far, no one's been able to explain to us why we should care. Let's go to our friend Paul Lee. I say our friend Paul Lee.
Not here.
Hi! Oh, there you go. Thank you. From Placentia, who's on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Paul, thanks for hanging on. Are we missing the boat on this, my friend?
There's other angles of this I don't think you're seeing.
Okay.
Okay.
Other people I know who Twitter, they can get information from people who follow them. So if you guys had a Twitter, you could, like, put a shout-out to find out, like, who slept with their best friend's mom and stuff like that. And you
right.
get a bunch of Twitter responses of people who've done it.
Oh, that's a great idea, Paul, except we have email. If somebody wants to to tell us something like that, they can just send it in or they can call us.
Well, sometimes you want information fast and you send out a little blast. And even something like where you can get a certain kind of coffee or some product you want to try out or something.
Do you Twitter, Paul?
Not a whole lot yet. I've just signed up for one.
People who do, though, probably are aware of the amount of worthless just crap that you have to go through to find anything interesting.
Yeah.
Right, but people follow you. You rely on them to give you something interesting.
So, Paul, what you're saying is, if I can translate here, let's say we were doing a phone topic on people who Twitter. We could send out a Twitter to everybody that follows the Kevin and Bean Show and say, hey, if you Twitter, and obviously you do because you're getting this message, please call us Monday morning at 6:30.
Yes, exactly. Or if you need to find out more information about stuff, and it might be something more esoteric that you can't really Google.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, you know, you can send it out and you'll be surprised. You know your caller, your listeners,
yeah.
know a bunch of stuff.
But well, we all know there's all that stuff that you can't Google. I'm telling you what, man, there's a long list of stuff that's impossible to get information on the internet.
Here's the thing. I don't think either of us feel like we have enough to say. You know what I mean?
Like we've said it all right here, right?
Like
that's it.
And then I picture, you know, oh, let's sign people up for the K-Rock Twitter. And then, you know, the third time they receive from something from us, they go, oh, my God, they've got to stop bugging me.
Paul, have you seen Kevin's blog at K-Rock.com? That's the way it would end up, which is
that's
just
funny.
Yeah. I've got to stop blogging.
You're an awesome dude, but you're wrong on this one. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Greg in West Hills. He's on line 7. He's got a different angle for us on the question, should we Twitter? Hey, Greg, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I use Twitter because I can follow celebrities like your friend Greg Grunberg, and he talks the latest episode of Heroes or a band from TV.
Okay.
Okay, I can see that.
What does he text about, say, the latest episode of Heroes? What would you get from him that would make it worthwhile?
He just tweeted yesterday, he read episode 22, and that they have the best writers ever.
Wow!
Take that back.
Wait a minute. So you got that kind of insight?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, listen, we love Greg. We do, but that's not interesting. If he says in episode 22 this and this and this is going to happen, fine, but we have the best writers is it's not good.
And by the way, it also proves he hasn't been watching the show the last two seasons.
That's true.
Okay, thank you for the call. Let's try Oakley on line 1. Oakley is in Los Angeles listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Oak, hello. What do you got for us?
Well, one thing. Like Paul was just saying,
yeah.
If you guys have Twitter feed right now, you put out your message, and instead of waiting for the emails to start clogging up your mailbox and somebody have to scan them all,
right.
You watch your Twitter feed and just see all the answers. You can read them right off on air.
Right.
But I can do that with email right here, right now.
Yeah, I can do that with email. I can see email live.
Right, but this one, it's shorter. You don't have to read through the whole email when people start going on and on and on about stuff. You just see it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and it's more concise and more, you know.
I got to be honest.
What you need.
I got to be honest. I do my best to not be reachable. That's my goal. I want to not, I don't want to talk on the phone. I have my cell phone off. I want people to call and get a message. I don't want to speak to anyone.
This one, you don't have to because you type it.
Oh,
right, but Kevin is a dropout each day at 9 a.m. He's gone.
I don't want to be
He might
reachable.
As well be in the Fortress of Solitude, seriously.
I try to avoid people. That's my goal in life.
That's why I have Twitter half the time, so I don't have to talk to anybody. I just Twitter them.
But you don't even have to Twitter
them.
Right?
Yeah.
You could actually not Twitter them is one of the options, is what I'm saying.
Then you have to call them. You have to actually have an email conversation.
Nope.
No, you don't have to do any of those things.
You can avoid people like the plague.
Honestly, are you saying that every time you Twitter, what you're doing is avoiding a phone call, that every piece of information you Twitter is important enough to call people and tell them?
Sometimes.
Nope.
Sometimes. How often,
well,
really?
We're going to make the decision to not talk to you on the phone even right now. How about that, Oakley? Thank
Oakley,
you for the call.
I would have Twittered you if you guys have Twitter accounts, but you don't.
Yeah, well, we... And I don't think we're going to, because we don't have anything to say.
And how much more can... I mean, there's Twitters,
what do
there's
you people
blogs,
want from us?
There's... Geez,
listen,
how much
there should
you need?
I have both.
You have both. You have a blog?
Oh, dear Lord.
I have a blog. I have Twitter. I have Facebook. I'm addicted.
Okay. And here's
when
what I'm saying.
Do you have time to do anything else?
But here's what I'm saying to you, Oakley. None of your friends need to know all that about you. None of them want to know that.
For people who don't, they don't need to.
Zero.
They do.
You say, okay. It says here that you you read Darth Vader's Twitter.
Yes. Yeah. He's hilarious.
Yes, he is. That's what he's known for.
Yeah. All right. I hate Twitter now. I hate it. I hate it based on the people that we've talked to on the phone today. I hate it. And I want you all to die.
Talking on the air right now.
There's no need. You don't have to Twitter, Kevin. We're on the radio. Now. It's fine. Speak.
Bean's telling me I don't have to.
6:50 on the Kevin and Bean show. It's Monday morning. By the way, we're debuting a brand new game later on this morning that I think you're going to find very entertaining.
All I care about is the new game. It's all
I know.
Care
it's going to be so much. Is that next? Are we doing the new game
yes.
next?
Yes.
Oh, the new game is going to be next.
Oh, it's so good.
Let's get it over with.
It makes me so crazy. I love new games.
You can call in about 10 minutes if you want to play the new game to win the Xbox 360 and the Madden 09. I think you're going to be very entertained by it. Anyway, that's on the way, plus a trip to London to see U2 next hour. And at 6:51 right now, Ralph joins us with the Showbiz Beat for a new day, for a new week. What's going on?
Please refer to me from now on as Ralph Blart.
Ralph Blart, mall cop?
Apparently, that's the key to success in show business.
All right.
Have a funny last name. Because it worked for Paul Blart, mall cop. $21.5 million this weekend. Made it number one in the box office.
For the second weekend in a row.
Yep. He sure does ride on a Segway in a mall.
He sure is fat.
Sure is fat. Sure can't do a lot of things well. That Paul Blart mall cop.
Look, you don't understand.
I understand all too well. That's the problem. I wish I understood less.
People tried to take over the mall, Ralph.
I'm so tired of terrorists trying to take over malls.
Does he have a Twitter? Do we know? Paul Blart, does he Twitter?
Twitter's on his Segway. Underworld, Rise of the Lycans. Came in at number two, $20.7 million this weekend. Gran Torino was three. Hotel for Dogs came in at number four.
Woo!
Stop it. Slumdog Millionaire. A lot of dogs in the top five. Slumdogs, Hotel for Dogs. My Bloody Valentine 3D was number six. Ow. Inkheart was seven. Bride Wars, Notorious Case. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button and Notorious rounding out your top ten at the box office.
He's doing the Duran Duran song, for those of you that have no idea what that sound is.
Talking about movies, congratulations to Push.
Push.
Push is that new sci-fi adventure film with the Human Torch?
Yeah, Chris Evans. Dakota Fanning.
Yeah. Push won both the Grand Jury Award and the Audience Award at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. What may look to you as just another goofy sci-fi movie actually really pleased the crowd at Sundance this year. Looking forward to seeing that. I like that, Chris Evans.
Yeah, he's good.
Charming dude. Last night were the 15th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards, and the Oscars went to, the actors went to Paul Giamatti and Laura Linney for their performances in John Adams.
Kevin predicted, by the way, he was so high on that.
Stop talking about that miniseries.
Yeah.
Sally Field and Brothers and Sisters won for Best Actress in a Dramatic Series. Mad Men won for Best Ensemble for a dramatic series.
As Kevin predicted when he was so hot on that series.
He's actually watching Mad Men now, Bean. Kevin is watching Mad Men.
How far along are you now, Kevin?
Episode 2.
Wow.
He's jumped in with both feet.
You're only 20 behind.
I'm episode 2, and I am unclear whether they smoked or not in the 50s.
Or apparently what era the series takes place in.
In the 60s. Okay. 60s. Like it matters if it's before 80.
You're unclear about a lot of things about that show.
Yeah. I want to know if they drank at work. That's what I would know. And read around other wives. Did that happen at all?
Every office has a bar in it.
Yeah.
On Mad Men. A wet bar in the office.
You were born at the wrong time.
I was.
No, he's talking
or
to me.
Or you guys were. Oh.
30 Rock won for Best Ensemble in a Comedy Series. Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey also won for Best Actor and Actress in a Comedy Series. And my boy.
Who's your boy?
Hugh Laurie won for Best Actor in a Drama Series for his performance as Gregory House on the series House. Here is a little bit of Hugh's acceptance speech.
Thank you. This is amazing. I actually had $100 on James Spader. This is just not my night.
Why is he so funny?
Not his night.
Not
he won the award, but he lost the bet.
He's so bummed.
Just not his night.
He's just the best. It's always shocking to hear Hugh talk in his British accent because you're so used to Greg House being all cranky and American. Speaking of cranky and American.
Yeah.
Actually, she's not, but it's a bad segue.
It's not a good segue.
Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Still vacationing in the Caribbean.
What?
That's not a vacation.
Isn't
now
it
she's moved there.
A permanent residence now?
Well, it is causing some concern with the commercial director for Universal Records, Brian Rose. Apparently, it seems that there seems to be no solid plan for her ever to go back to work. And he's a little concerned with the time and money she's spending down there in St. Lucia, in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Or in the Caribbean, rather. Apparently, he is taking a trip down there this week.
Oh, is that right?
Pay a little visit to Amy. According to the Sun newspaper out of the UK, he is under strict orders from the company to, and I quote, drive some common sense into her. Yeah,
right.
That'll happen.
That'll happen soon.
He seems a bit concerned that she's been spending tens of thousands of dollars on bar tabs for new friends that she's met at the hotel.
Anyone who will drink with her.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they sent Dog the Bounty Hunter in and they made a TV episode of trying to wrangle Amy Winehouse, throw
and
a big net over.
And then Sober Living, like we could link all these shows together.
You just follow her from reality show to reality show.
I like it.
Yeah. Speaking of British singers, this one's better. Lily Allen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's adorable. Yeah. Interesting news about Lily. She did a recent interview where she talked about how she once had a little affair with two identical bisexual twins. Not the Icky sisters. Not Vicky
them.
And Ricky. I did once snog identical twins in San Diego, says Lily. I was on the sofa and I had them both. I was dancing and shoving my ass on one of them. That's the only time, but I have lesbian dreams a lot. I have lesbian dreams quite a lot, she adds.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Lily Allen and lesbian twins.
I love that word snog. It just makes it sound
snogging.
Just fun.
Snog's
and
awesome.
Not bad. And
yeah.
Just good times.
You guys familiar with an actress named Amber Heard?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
She is in a new movie called The Informers where she gets quite nude.
She is the best looking woman in the world, and I can prove it.
Who needs to be in my movie?
Is that who Nick likes?
That I'm writing. Star in my screenplay. She's the only actress that I'm going to date her.
Written a role for her as a golden goddess.
Wow. Yep,
that's Nick's girlfriend.
Yeah. She gets very naked in her new movie, The Informers.
I saw pictures on Egotastic, I think.
Yeah, that's right, because they are showing you stills of the new unrated international trailer for this movie, in which Amber is just naked all over it. You can only see it in the international trailer, but it's well worth it. It's on YouTube if you care to check it out. The Informers is the name of the movie. And I think we can all tell from what I've seen so far that she is very talented and has a big future in show business. She sure is naked.
She's not a little bit naked, is what you're saying. She's
not
very
even,
naked.
Not even part of a little bit. All much bit. Naked.
I'm never going to leave my house now.
She's the greatest in any house. She doesn't do CSI.
He wrote me last week that he could prove that she was the most beautiful woman in the world.
Well,
there
is a formula. Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't you feel sorry for Brittany Flickinger?
Yes.
I know I do.
Because of that name.
Brittany Flickinger, if you don't remember, was the young lady who won the big challenge to be Paris Hilton's new BFF.
Oh, well,
how's that going for her?
Apparently not so well.
What?
Apparently she has been left behind a few times by Paris Hilton.
You mean they weren't really looking for a best friend?
I believe they were.
Mm.
Despite the fact that today has just been announced... The new casting session for Paris Hilton's My New BFF Part 2, they're calling it.
How sad.
The sequel to Paris Hilton's My New BFF. ParisHiltonCasting.com is the place to go if you'd like to throw your hat into the ring and compete to be Paris Hilton's new BFF again.
Well, it certainly pays off.
Tom Bien. too, as well.
Can you imagine a worse existence than following Paris Hilton around?
No. Although, if she gets into all the parties and stuff, I guess that'd be all right.
But you have to talk to Paris Hilton.
We should have the King of Mexico try out for that show. That'd because be he could work the no game game on her.
And he could text her.
He
constantly
could.
While Twitter, he's hanging out with her.
That's right.
Here's a little piece of the text on the website. Oh. Do you long to strut into the world's most elite hotspots without a care in the world except how fabulous you are?
Oh, dear God.
Again?
Ever wish the velvet ropes didn't exclude you from the social circles of the A-list? How about the fantasy of jet-setting around the world with the ultimate BFF, whose fierce style, charisma, and star power is only matched by your own?
Wow.
This sounds like...
Wow.
This email should come from Namibia. Or Nigeria or something, and there should be some request for cash from me at the end of it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a big internet scam, quite frankly, to me.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
What do I know? Today's celebrity birthdays, Eddie Van Halen. Arguably greatest guitarist in the rock era.
Sure.
Anyone?
What do you think, Mike? You're our guitar expert.
Yeah, you play guitar, Mike. What do you think?
He's
no Tom Morello, but...
No, I'm not. But Eddie. No one's really like transformed the way you looked at the instrument the way Eddie
he looks at it differently. Doesn't sound like that would affect the sound at all. Just staring at it. 54 years old today. TV show host Ellen DeGeneres is 51. The great one, Wayne Gretzky, hockey legend, now coaching
Arizona.
Right?
Yep,
he is 48 years old. And actress Sarah Ruhr celebrates her 30th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock are loading you up with the Xbox 360 and Madden 09 from EA, which, by the way, still the best sporting video game of all time, right? I mean, it just gets better every year. I mean, that's if you only own one, that's the one you want to own. So we've been giving them away, and we'll be giving them away all week long. Congratulations to Tricia Atwood from Long Beach. She just won hers. Now we have an opportunity for you to earn one on the Kevin and Bean Show with a new game that we came up with Friday that we're all very excited to play.
Mm-hmm. And by all excited to play, you mean
almost all.
Everyone except for Kevin.
Yes.
Let's hear the promo announcement that we were recording after the morning show on Friday that led us to conclude that Kevin is not necessarily good at repeating stuff. Listen to this.
Oh, I hate Monday mornings. It's so hard to get up and get to school and or work.
So I say, would it help to know you can listen to the Kevin and Bean Show or something?
Have you tried waking up and turning on the always entertaining and often informative Kevin and Bean Show?
Have you tried rolling over and turning on the always informative and... what would cause me to even try that? Have you thought of rolling over and turning on the entertaining and always... Come on, now I can't do it. And f*** you both, because you're just going to go bleed that in.
Well, of course we are, but give us more. Come on, try it again. You can do it.
What's the point?
Have you tried rolling over and turning on the always entertaining and equally informative Kevin Beecher? Try it again.
Just what you said. Next.
Try it again.
I'm not going to try it again!
See you Monday.
J-Rock.
So that's what we decided, that our new game is, can Kevin repeat this?
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
Nope.
Do you think Kevin can repeat?
Uh-uh.
Do you really think Kevin can repeat this? No, I didn't think so, neither do I. Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Remember Doug said all the time him. Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Let's all find out if Kevin can repeat this now.
We're out of time.
That was sweet.
1-800-520-1067. We have contestants on the line. Kevin, all they have to do is listen to what Ralph is going to read and then decide whether you're going to be likely to be able to repeat it or not. If they're right, they get to go into the drawing to win the fabulous prize package.
If I could give people a hint, after about three words, they all start fighting for my attention.
All the words?
Yes. So if there's a sentence with 20 words in it, by the time I get to word three, all of the other words want to come out or none of them.
None of these sentences have 20 words in them. Most are about 10 words.
They're very fair. They're very fair. And I think you've got a good shot at most of them. But
yeah.
Let's see. Sean is in Lameda. He is on line one. He is our first contestant to see if he can go into the drawing to win the Xbox 360 and Madden 09. Good morning, Sean.
Hi.
All right, listen up. Here's the way it's going to work. Mike is going to turn down Kevin's headphones so he cannot hear what Ralph is about to read out loud. You listen to it, and then you tell us whether you think Kevin is going to be able to repeat it or not. Here's Ralph.
All right.
Can Kevin repeat?
I can hear Ralph.
He can hear me? Not good. Can you hear me? Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I should read it then.
How about if I whisper? Can you hear me now? He can't hear me now. Okay.
Okay.
Here's what Kevin's going to try to repeat. Have you tried listening to the always entertaining and frequently informative Kevin and Bean Show?
No.
He cannot repeat that. You okay. Say no. All right, let's wake Kevin up.
Kevin?
Woo! Mike, you can touch him to let him know. There we go.
I don't want him to touch me for any
reason.
Touch
him in a special place. Okay, here's what you need to try to repeat, Kevin.
What did Sean say, yes or no?
He said no, you will not be able to repeat
I'm
this.
With Sean.
Have you tried listening to the always entertaining and frequently informative Kevin and Bean Show?
Come on. Have you tried listening to the always entertaining and sometimes informational?
All right, so Sean is in the drawing. Congratulations. Let's move along now to David in West Covina. David's on line two.
This is such
hey,
good
Dave,
times.
Welcome to the
Good morning.
All right, we're turning Kevin's headphones down. Kevin Ralph will now...
Put Kevin in the cone of silence.
Okay. Ralph will now read the phrase that pays.
The new Slap Chop promises hours of fun and a lifetime of enjoyment. Will Kevin be able to repeat that?
Well, that's pretty easy. I think I'd say yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. You say yes. All right. Kevin is back with us.
Confidence in him.
That's okay. A dumb guess, David.
Here's what you need to repeat, Kevin.
All right.
The new Slap Chop promises hours of fun and a lifetime of enjoyment.
The new Slap Chop offers hours of fun and a lifetime of enjoyment.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah.
I
think. What do you mean? Oh, you're going to give it to him? You're going to give it to him? Okay.
Yeah.
What did I not say?
Right, it was promises.
You had offers instead of promises.
Offers,
but
I think okay. Close enough.
All right. We'll give it to you. Congratulations, David. You are also in the drawing to win the Xbox 360. Well done, my friend. Let's try Tracy on line three. Tracy is in Anaheim Hills this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Trace. Kevin's headphones are down. Listen up. Here's Ralph.
Okay.
Hello? You hear it? Ready? The sport of ice hockey requires strength, stamina, and relentless determination.
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say yes.
Okay.
But then you recognize that he's Kevin, so you're going to say what?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to say yes. Here we go. Okay. You said yes.
She said yes?
She said yes, Kevin.
I said yes.
Tracy, why would you say yes?
Well, like I said, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
No.
You know, hope he's a little more intelligent.
Yeah, nice doesn't win you Xboxes, baby. Here we go. Kevin, repeat this.
All right.
The sport of ice hockey requires strength, stamina, and relentless determination.
The sport of ice hockey...
Here's
what happened.
Don't look at me.
Here's what happened. The sport of ice hockey, and then determination, 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 determination. That's all that would come to my mind.
Requires strength, stamina, and relentless determination.
This is not fun for anyone.
That was so great.
Michael, hang up on Tracy. She said,
"Hang up on Tracy."
All right. Yeah, I'm sorry. She's not in the drawing.
Right. Apparently, words have a short shelf life in Kevin's head.
They do.
Michael is in Pasadena. He's on line four. It's just that Kevin has lots of important information in there that has to be pushed aside for this new bogus information.
I know.
That's right. I have important stuff.
Exactly. All right, Michael. This is really one of the most entertaining games we've ever played. I hope you're enjoying it as a listener too. Kevin's headphones are down. Listen up. Here's Ralph to explain what the next phrase is.
New green automobile models include hybrid, natural gas, and hydrogen technologies.
No way.
All right. Yeah. We'll see.
You guys have no idea what fun it is to have everyone in the room laugh at you.
Come on, buddy. This is fun.
What did you say, yes or no, Michael?
No way. Mike said no.
No way. Right. And I already wrote down his name.
Put him in the drawing.
Here we go, Kevin. Repeat this. New green automobile models include hybrid, natural gas, and hydrogen technologies.
New green automobile models include hydrogen and electric.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Oh, I want to play this game forever, all day, all the time.
This is not interesting or fun.
He gets
up
a good head of steam up in the first half, and then
I'm
it all
telling
goes
you, the words
the
start fighting for my attention. There's nothing I can do about it.
I really thought when he started that sentence, it sounded like he was going for it.
I thought he was going to nail it.
All right, Joel is in Glendale. He is on line five this morning.
How much more time do we have? Because I want to. We got a couple good ones. I'll make sure we get
to those.
We'll
do two more. This is our second to the last contestant.
Two more. Okay, here's two more.
And by the way, this is the last time we're going to do the game.
Oh, you're kidding me? We're doing this every day.
Joel, headphones are off. Here's Ralph with your phrase.
All right, guys.
Cotton candy and candy corn contain neither cotton nor corn.
No way.
All right.
All right, Kevin is back. No. Listen up, Kevin.
I think he's got a good shot at this one.
What Kevin? Did our contestant say? No?
No.
Nope.
Right. Here's what you have to repeat.
Good call.
Cotton candy and candy corn contain neither cotton nor corn.
Cotton candy and candy corn contain neither cotton nor corn.
He did! Hey, how about that?
Kevin did it.
And that was after he was mocking you halfway through, and he still came up with it. That's nice. Very impressive. All right, good one job. More contestant on Can Kevin Repeat It? And let's make it Jim in Manhattan Beach on line 6. Hey, Jim, thanks for holding on. You ready to play the game?
Yes, I am. Morning, Lisa.
All right.
Good morning.
Kevin's headphones are down. Listen up. Here's Ralph.
Jim, we will ask Kevin to repeat the presidential oath in pieces just like they do when they swear on the president.
Oh, definitely not. Brock didn't even get through it.
All right, we'll see.
Okay, Kevin.
Okay, Kevin, you ready?
What did Jim say?
He said no.
Good call.
And this is a multi-part question.
Oh.
Okay.
That's not acceptable.
No, it is. You'll see what happens when we get into it. Here we go.
B.
Repeat after me. I, Kevin Ryder. It's the presidential oath.
I, Kevin Ryder.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability...
I should be president. And will, to the best of my ability...
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
He did it!
Yeah!
And he's now officially the President of the United States.
That makes me the president, right?
That does. Yeah.
All right. Sean, David, Michael, and Jim are all in the drawing for Xbox 360 and EA's Madden 09. Lisa, who's our winner?
The winner is Sean in Lomita.
First guy we talked to.
Woo!
Well done, Sean.
Good job.
Yeah, great job. This has been, it's been a great time.
Tune in tomorrow when we once again play.
Nope.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Let's all find out if Kevin can repeat this now.
For the last week or so, we've been giving you brand new copies of U2's album, which comes out on March 3rd, No Line on the Horizon. Win it before you can buy it. And each person was told they qualify for a grand prize drawing to go see U2 on the Brit Awards, which is London's version of the Grammys. And I think right now we are dialing a lucky Southland listener to give them the good news. London, by the way. That's a great city to visit right there.
Hello?
Is this Danielle?
Yes.
Atwood?
Yes.
From Costa Mesa?
Yes.
I don't know what else to ask her, B.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
You are.
Oh, my gosh.
You're our grand prize winner.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
You got a trip for two to see U2 at the Brit Awards in London. That's airfare, hotel, two tickets, $500 spending cash, which is just about enough for a cab from the airport.
Oh, my God.
One way.
Danielle, you're so religious. I've never heard somebody be so happy
so
with
excited.
God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, indeed. Hey, have you ever been to England in some junk?
No, I've always wanted to go there.
It's one of the coolest cities in the world to visit. You will have such a great time. Lisa, do you have anything in your Cockney accent you'd like to tell Danielle about what she can expect in Britain?
Just stay away from the east side of London. It's dangerous for a girl at night.
Oh, my God.
What just happened? Danielle, you get to see U2. I think the Kings of Leon are playing, Coldplay's playing, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Pet Shop Boys are also playing. So that's not a joke. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Danielle, you get to see it all. It's the Brit Awards. You're going to see U2, and thank you for listening to K-Rock.
Thank you so much.
You're the best. Hold on. We'll give you some details.
I'm just saying there are too many award shows. That's what I'm saying. And they need to get away with, like the People's Choice Awards, that can be gone, for instance. That's one that you can go get away with. Last night was the Screen Actors Guild as we marched toward the Oscars on February the 22nd. And at least this one has a ton of stars. It's just actors. There's nothing else. No directors, no producers, no screenwriters, anything like that. Just actors from television and from movies. And the show was on last night on TNT. And actually, it had a very funny start because they go around the room and they have people sitting at their tables in the audience talking about why they became actors and how proud they are to be actors. Mm-hmm. Steve Carell, I thought, opened up the show with a good one.
On January 15th, 2009, a U.S. Airways pilot named Chesley Sullenberger performed an exacting, perfect emergency landing into the icy cold waters of the Hudson River. It's a good thing that I was not behind the controls of that plane, because I'm Steve Carell, and I'm an actor.
Probably exactly where he was supposed to be. That's the only time we got to see Steve on the TV last night, because he did not win his nomination for The Office. He's so great. There are some categories that you wish that more than one person could win the award, but last night it was Alec Baldwin's night, and he gave a little bit of an acceptance speech. Very funny, too, winning for his role on 30 Rock.
What I love about these shows is you get to see people you don't see that often anymore. Everybody gets older and has kids and has families, and it's so nice to be able to see some old friends. And I don't know who I want to make out with more tonight, Tony Hopkins or Diane Lane. I can't decide. Because Tony looks so good. He looks fantastic.
I got a little uncomfortable. It didn't sound like he was kind of hitting on the old man at that point.
Huge night for 30 Rock, by the way. Tina Fey also won for Best Actress on a TV show. And this was the only reference that I caught about the potential for an upcoming strike. We've been hearing about the Screen Actors Guild, about whether when they're going to vote and whether they're going to vote to strike or not. And I really thought, actors being actors, that they would take advantage of the platform, knowing that people were watching, to talk about that. But I think only Tina Fey brought it up, and it was very funny.
And I want to thank Alice for...
This is her daughter, her little daughter Alice she's talking about.
Okay. ...for her patience. And someday she'll be old enough to watch 30 Rock reruns on the internet and understand where mommy was going at 6 a.m. every day for all that time. And she'll look up at me and say, what do you mean you don't get residuals for this?
So understandably, she got big applause for that. 30 Rock was the big winner and also won for the Best Ensemble TV Comedy, too. Here's Jane Krakowski from the show accepting her award.
Thank you. Tracy Morgan and I had an agreement that if the Arizona Cardinals made it into the Super Bowl, I would be speaking for the show from now on. We'd like to thank everyone in the Screen Actors Guild for voting for us. A great ensemble should be better than the sum of its parts, and that is definitely the case here because some of these people are just weirdos that we picked up off the street. Jack McBrayer.
Yeah, he plays Kenneth on the show, and I wonder if he's right in the head. He's so good as Kenneth that it does make me wonder if he's really that good an actor or if he's just a little bit touched. You know what I mean? The other big TV winner of the night was Mad Men, and here's the star, Ralph's boyfriend, John Hamm from Mad Men, who makes a reference to how lowly rated they are. Although, now that Kevin is watching, who knows, man? Anything's possible.
It's impossible to single out individuals to thank. We have our incredibly talented crew, our incredibly talented writing staff. The people at AMC who took chances on all of us and hiring us, are dozens of viewers.
they may have more cast members than they have viewers, I will tell you that. It's a big cast, but how hot are the women on Mad Men? And I tell you, a show like that, you get a chance to see them out like regular people. Good times.
Even hotter?
Even hotter. Yeah. Hugh Laurie, of course, the big winner, second year in a row as he plays Dr. House. He won his award.
Thank you. This is amazing. I actually had $100 on James Spader. This is just not my night.
Over in movies, by the way, Sean Penn won in Best Male Actor in a Leading Role. Has he ever had a good time, Sean Penn? Does he ever,
I don't know.
You ever get the impression he's enjoying himself or he's happy to be there, anything like that?
Only when he did our show. Only then. Only then did he really have a good time.
I do not think he likes that stuff at all.
He seems like a bummer. He seems like a great actor, but a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was really surprised that he got one of the few, I think there may have been two or three top standing ovations last night for the room, and Sean Penn was the guy. I wouldn't imagine that he would be that well-liked by his colleagues, but he got a standing ovation in the room when he won for Mill. I was a little bit surprised to see Meryl Streep win for the Best Female Actor in a leading role, and she also seemed very surprised that she won for Doubt.
Well, I didn't even buy a dress.
She really was wearing pants last night, by the way. She was wearing pants. Made it seem like she had no... This is what we've always said, by the way. You can't be shocked when you win. If you're one of the five people that's nominated, at least, I don't know, prepare for that. At least understand that there's a possibility that you might win. It's not like they called somebody out of the audience who wasn't nominated.
Right. If you're just sitting there and you're not nominated for anything and they call your name, then you should get up and go, wow, I didn't expect this.
Yeah, you've got a right to be surprised. But listen to Meryl. She sounds like she's hyperventilating.
I didn't even buy a dress. I'm really, really, really shocked. And even though awards mean nothing to me anymore, I'm really happy.
She has won, it seems like, every award. Hasn't she been nominated for like 13 Oscars or something like that?
Yeah, that's why it seems... Like,
lame. She's always really excited and happy.
Fine.
I love her speeches. They're always funny, but she's genuinely so touched every time.
But how can she still be surprised? I mean, really, at some point in your career.
Insecure people at heart. That's why they're actors.
But at some point after you won 12 or 13, you should go, maybe I have a chance. You know, like, it's possible.
The least surprising award of the night didn't make it any less emotional. Gary Oldman got up and accepted the award for his co-star in The Dark Knight. Yeah, Heath Ledger won last night for the Screen Actors Guild. I guess that's the only lock at the Oscars, is that he's definitely going to win an Academy Award, it looks like. Kate Winslet won for Best Female Actor in a Supporting Role for her performance in The Reader. Slumdog Millionaire was the Best Picture at the SAG Awards last night. The actors were pretty funny in general doing the presentations from the stage. You know, a lot of time we complain on some of the shows, and the Oscars are one of them too, where they write like stupid stuff for him to read.
Yeah, and it just lays flat. It's terrible.
It lays flat, and you can tell that they're not into it, and they know it's not funny, but they just feel like they have to read it. I don't know. For some reason last night, I thought there were some pretty good ones, and I just brought in one for you. This is John Krasinski from The Office, who gets up with Amy Poehler from 30 Rock. I thought, I don't know where this came from or what this is all about, but I love both of them so much, and I think they're both very funny.
Amy and I are honored to be here tonight to present outstanding performance by a female actor in a drama series. You know, it actually reminds me of a funny story. I was in New
York. John,
don't. What's wrong?
Can't we just be serious for once? Why does everything have to be a joke?
Amy, why don't you just read what's on the prompter?
Why? So I can disappoint you again?
Oh my God, not here. Not tonight, not now.
Then when?
I swear to God, if you keep pushing me away, next time I will not come back.
Fine, leave and take your broken dreams with you.
Why do you have to ruin everything?
Because it's all I know.
What the hell's going on?
Is it just me or is that funny?
It's funny, but why?
I don't know, but it was funny. That's last night's Screen Actors Guild. I think I could be wrong, but I think there's only one left, and I think that's the Oscars, and I think it's February the 22nd. So we're almost out of award season. We've almost survived another. So you met your Carl's Jr. girlfriend on Friday. Tamara Brown was in. And by the way, you can see the video from that interview. So nice. It's up at KROQ.com.
So nice.
And then next hour, Ralph, one of your movie girlfriends, Elizabeth Banks, is going to be on. We're on the show. We're going to be talking to her.
I
love her so much.
Love her so much.
Are you going to be creepy like you were last time we had her on?
Look who's calling the kettle creepy.
I'm just saying everyone
do that.
I don't think the pot should be calling the kettle creepy. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying I know how you are about Miss Elizabeth Banks, and she is going to be joining us at the 8 o'clock hour. So just, you know, behave.
Loved her
that's
and Zach
all I'm
and
saying.
Mary. So good in Zach and Mary. And yeah. Now she's killing people. See?
Yeah. What's up with that?
What happens? You work with Kevin Smith once, and next thing you know, you're a homicidal maniac.
Turn right to death.
Yep.
That'll be coming up between 8 and 8:30 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's right. Turn on that cassette.
No.
What? Press record.
Okay, we're going to tape that out of cassette
no
player,
one has
Rodney.
No cassettes anymore, Rodney. No one.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday. What's going on?
I'd like to make a quick correction, if I could, before I get to the showbiz news.
Okay.
I mentioned that Push was the big winner at Sundance.
Yes, you did.
It turns out it's a completely different film.
What?
Not the Chris Evans film at all.
What?
Push. I was fooled by the name Push, which is the name of that movie, but apparently this movie is also named Push.
Okay.
But it has nothing to do with that other movie
not
called
Push.
Not
that one at all.
Hey, listen, if you're going to call your movie Push, then you have to expect some people to screw up what it's about.
That just seems intentionally confusing.
This Push that won the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance as well as the Audience Award, as well as a special jury prize for acting, is based on a 1997 novel. It is the nightmarish story of a morbidly obese, pregnant black girl growing up in Harlem who is neglected and abused by her mother.
Ugh. Oh. Does it star Schmiss Schmevins and Shmakota Schmanning?
It does not. But Push is a wholly different Push. And the acting award was actually won by the actress who plays the terrifying mother of this 16-year-old girl. Monique won a Best Actress award at
Monique,
Sundance.
The comedian?
The
yep.
Monique?
Actress?
Yep.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
So, Monique, I say nope-neek.
Doesn't make sense.
I know, but I still don't like that.
If I remember correctly, she is M-O-apostrophe-N-I-Q-U-E, Monique.
You remember correctly, Beach. Yeah. That's how she is Monique.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So there's your correction. There's the latest on Push.
All right.
Don't be confused. By cheap imitators.
How
by the real
be?
Thing. Push.
Oh, you thought we were going to go see The Curious Case of Benjamin Button that had Brad Pitt in it. No, no, no. This is a different movie, same title.
Yeah. This one stars Omar Epps. All right. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? As we do every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one was Paul Blart, Mall Cop. Let's see, $21.5 million.
It's time for you to go, Ralph.
Made it number. Excuse me?
Time for you to go.
There's no
you
such
have
time.
To admit you're wrong.
There is no clock in
say,
the world that can show me the time where I'm going to see Paul Blart.
I could have been wrong. I'm going to go see Paul Blart.
Underworld, Rise of the Lycans was number two at the box office, making a hair over $20 million.
That was good, by the way. I like that.
Did you go see that
yep.
this weekend?
I love that.
No
I
Kate
love
Beckinsale, though, right?
No.
Yes, Kate Beckinsale is in the very last frame. So it's like the leading.
This is the prequel. This is the prequel.
Before, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
Is she nude in the last frame?
Nope.
Then I'm not going.
Not enough.
Gran Torino was number 3. Hotel for Dogs was number 4.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring a gun to work. And next time you cheer for Hotel for Dogs, you're going to catch a bullet.
You should punch him in the face. It really makes you feel better.
I know.
Yeah. You should.
Slumdog Millionaire was number 5. The Bloody My Bloody Valentine 3D was number 6. Then Inkheart, Bride Wars, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Notorious.
Nut.
It sounds less and less like Duran Duran every time
even close.
You do it. It's just ridiculous. Speaking of movies, are you aching for Charlie's Angels 3?
Absolutely not.
Drew Barrymore says that it's in the works. Oh. She, of course, one of the stars of Charlie's Angels and one of the producers as well. I'm so into it, Charlie's Angels 3, she said. They're hard movies to make, but they're fun. Yeah, I'm sure that acting you have to do is Charlie's Angels must be exhausting.
That sounds unnecessary.
Drew's producing partner says, it's percolating up, it's rising to the surface. Oh, like a zit.
We're still talking about movies?
Yes, apparently. Rumors they may be adding a fourth angel to the movie as well.
Judge from American Idol?
Yes. Cara DioGuardi is going to be the fourth angel. No, there's going to be another smoking hot, perhaps a little younger angel to join the cast to perk things up for the audience.
Whatever.
Fantastic.
What, whatever.
Charlie's Angels, come on. It's so played out. Don't you think?
I do. I agree with you, Lisa.
I like the first one a lot. Second one, not so much.
Yeah, I agree.
But if they had like Megan Fox to the mix, then I might have to like again. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. Or Tamara Brown. How about her? Sure. Her as an angel. How about getting rid of the other three old angels and just putting Tamara Brown and Megan Fox and...
And Odette Yustman.
Odette Yustman in as the three new angels.
I'd go to that movie.
The next generation. Come on. What idea. Do you say?
The hot ones is what it could be called.
Last night, if you watched the SAG Awards, you noticed that Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men was sitting next to the guy from Saturday Night Live who does the Barack Obama impressions, Fred Armisen. Turns out they're engaged.
Screw him.
Does he know that she got pregnant and went away and had that baby and didn't tell anybody? Is he aware of what she's done?
That was just a TV show.
That wasn't real.
Is he aware that they smoked a lot in the 50s? That's what I found out from Kevin this morning about that show.
That guy. What would he need him for?
I've seen the prequel.
To Kevin, anything before 1990 is the same. It doesn't matter if it's 10,000 BC 50s. Or if it's 10,000 BC or it's World War II. It's the same to Kevin.
That's correct.
They had brontosauruses in the 50s. They were just walking around in the jungle. The 50s were hard.
That was his problem with John Adams. I'm like, Kevin, why don't you watch John Adams? It's so good. He's like, I don't like stuff set in the 50s.
Those guys in the 50s with their powdered wigs.
50s is shorthand for bad.
And their Revolutionary War.
Gwyneth Paltrow's trying to cheer up her best friend Madonna. Oh, stop.
Way
it.
Too many bells.
Yeah. I heart her. Zero you guys bells. Know that. I heart her.
She barely bells. Pulled off cute in Iron Man. That was the hottest she's ever looked.
I love her so much.
Every other
I watched
time?
Emma over the weekend again. She's so, so
you
pretty.
Love her way too Bug. Much, though.
Bug. I adore her.
Way too much.
Bug. What's Bridget, going on with my Gwynny?
Bridget's title was Emma Ugly? The answer is yes. She's tried to cheer up her best friend Madonna lately because apparently Madonna's a little down after her split with Guy Ritchie.
Okay.
Did you know they're best friends, Gwyneth and Madonna?
Sure.
I knew they were friends.
I've been for years.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, who doesn't? I get updates.
I get Gwynny's Twitter.
Gwyneth has started up a book club to help cheer up Madonna.
Really?
Yeah.
In real life?
Mm-hmm.
How does that help?
Well, she gets together with all the girlfriends and they talk about hot books.
What happened to Madonna's face?
That's what you do to cheer up Lisa May. It's not what you do to cheer up Madonna,
yeah.
Okay?
If you're
gonna... What could you do to cheer up Madonna?
Get her a 21-year-old dancer? Yeah.
Apparently, Gwyneth recently bought Madonna some lingerie from Agent Provocateur and some marital aid toys to get her through those lonely nights as well.
Hmm.
Listen. No one needs a mechanical penis less than Madonna, by the way. I'm sure she's getting plenty of the real thing. Doesn't need your marital aids, Gwyneth.
She's got her own, too.
What?!
I'm just saying, look at her.
You are just saying, look at her. Speaking of wizened old hoe bags.
It's a good band.
Heather Mills is in the news.
Playing Coachella.
Heather says that since her split with Paul McCartney, she is constantly dating. has so many men, gentlemen callers.
Nope.com.
So busy.
Not possible.
With men.
Nope.
Heather says she is asked out constantly.
Stupid.
And can't understand why some of her attractive friends can't seem to find a date.
Hmm. I don't know. Maybe they don't have... How much money does she have now?
$50
million. $50 million. Maybe they don't have that.
Constantly being asked out, she says. She chalks up her success with the opposite sex to the fact that she is comfortable in her own skin.
Oh, shut up.
What's left of it?
Except for down there in the knee region on the right-hand side. That's not so comfortable. That part of skin.
That's pulled a little tight, that skin down there. It's stretching over the bone just a hair.
Oh.
Need to get the cap refitted on her prosthetic leg because that's chafing. That part of her skin.
Do you happen to know some of the name of the gentleman she's been dating?
Yeah, I know she was dating one guy with no arms and no legs who was just hanging on a wall.
Yeah.
He was named Art.
Oh. Yeah.
She was also dating another guy with no arms and no legs who was just laying there in front of her door named Matt. Named Matt. Yeah. One of her dates that had no arms and no legs, they found in the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, really? His name was Bob.
Oh.
His friend... wasn't so lucky. Drowned, sank to the bottom of the pool. Called him Dwayne.
Oh, man.
She had another beau who was legless and armless, found in a big pile of leaves in her backyard.
Why would he be there?
His name was Russell.
Who left him there?
There was a guy with no arms and no legs that she was dating.
Yeah.
He was found in a hole.
What
You're
hole?
Kidding. His name is Earth? Doug. Wow. Or next to another guy named Phil.
Oh!
I'm just saying she dates a lot. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying she doesn't. No way. She was so bitchy, so publicly.
She's famous, though, and rich. Come on.
Yeah.
She's no good in a sack race, though. I'll tell you that much. Don't take her to the company picnic. She will be
I'm just
useless.
Sad she never had a chance to hang out with that Miss World contestant who had her head to
feet. Oh, why do
that.
You have to go
saying,
there?
Wow. They would have been close friends
poor
if that poor woman hadn't died.
Away.
That's what I'm saying. It's a shame she never got to hang out with Heather Mills before she died.
It's all good fun until Bean chimes in.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthday is actress Sarah Rue. She was on Less Than Perfect. She is 30 years old today. You know, she was just on this week, too. You watching that Leverage over on TNT?
Mm-mm.
No. Boy, that's a fun show.
Are they a sponsor? Love it. Watch it every week.
I don't know if they're sponsored or not, but Leverage is kind of like the A-Team. It's like a team of five super criminals who use their powers for good.
Uh-huh.
And they help out people who can't battle like large corporation stuff. They break in and steal stuff.
But only if you can find them.
If you can find them, yeah. They're pretty easy to find. They work out of Leverage headquarters. So I think it's easier to find them. It's campy good fun. You should check it out on TNT. Anyway, Wayne Gretzky's 48 years old today. Ellen DeGeneres turns 51. And Eddie Van Halen, guitar god. Is 54. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Actress Elizabeth Banks joins us just Actress Elizabeth Banks joins us in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, keep listening to K-Rock as we continue all this week to give away the Xbox 360 and the EA Madden 09. Because, you know, football is on our mind because of the big game on Sunday.
Hmm.
What big game could you be referring to? I'm very confused by that.
You know, I don't know.
Speaking of movies, have you guys seen the controversy over this Slumdog Millionaire? It won another big award last night at the Screen Actors Guild Awards for the Best Picture. And there are people that are complaining about the word slumdog being a derogatory term, which really cracks me up because it's not a real term. It's something that the screenwriter made up to refer to the people, the poor people who live in the section of Mumbai that the movie's about. So how offended can you be by somebody making up a word about you?
I don't know. It seems to me it's always the same people, though. It's always the professional complainers that get the word out that everybody should be hurt by this, and they better be upset, and they better protest.
Yeah.
And it was here again. Same thing.
We wanted to find out more about it, so we asked producer Alex to line up somebody, and we do have a representative of the American Film Watchdog Group on the phone. This is Ed Van Imp joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mr. Van Imp.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We're fine.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
What is your group? Well, first of all, is your group one of the ones complaining about the use of the word slumdog?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We think the use of the slumdog is a very offensive term for a lot of these Mumbai people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they should be upset. And I think they should be more upset, actually, because, as you mentioned, this is a term that's made up by a screenwriter. This isn't even an actual term used to describe these people on a regular basis. He went out of his way, I think, to be offensive, in my personal opinion.
Well, I think he was looking for a term to kind of demonstrate how rough it is for these people. Not only are they living in abject poverty, but they are also either ignored or made fun of by the richer people in the country.
Right. So why don't they say economically disadvantaged, mocked people, millionaires?
Well, that doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Oh, slumdog rolls off your tongue, then you have an evil tongue, sir.
I don't think that's the case.
I think so.
But
I mean, couldn't you also look at it the other way, which is that it is showing how good some of these people are, how smart some of these people are, how some of these people are able to lift themselves out of poverty? Couldn't it be an inspirational message for the poor in India as well?
Yeah, I do think Slumdog shows how smart and inspirational they are. Hey, you Slumdog, good on you. Good on you, you big
no, but
slumdog.
The movie did. The movie has a point.
Listen, it's not even about movies. I don't even bother going to see the movies. I look at the titles and say, no, that's offensive to me personally.
But you don't have any context then.
Did you see Slumdog Millionaire?
I don't wear context. I have glasses. I can see everything I need.
Did you watch Slumdog Millionaire?
Of course not. I wouldn't go see something that was offensive and derogatory as a Slumdog movie.
Well, I think you're going to find that the vast majority of the people in India will go see this movie about India and love it.
First of all, I think you're going to find that the majority of these films that are nominated for the so-called Oscar Awards are all equally offensive.
What do you mean so-called Oscar Awards?
Well, they call them the Oscars.
They do.
There's not one guy named Oscar and works for that organization anyway, by the way, how do you know?
Well, all right. Slumdog Millionaire is the one that we have... We've seen complaints about that, but that's the only movie right now that's out there that's generating any kind of controversy.
Slumdog Millionaire is offensive not only to slums and dogs, but also millionaires. On different levels.
Millionaires are protesting.
They're also, yeah, a millionaire does not want to be connected with a slumdog, I'll have you know that much. Also, very offensive out there is The Reader.
What's offensive about The Reader?
Well,
that's just a big poke in the ribs with a stick to blind people, in my opinion. Oh, look at them. Oh, look at the sighted people just reading left and right all willy-nilly while you cannot read, Mr. Blind Man. How was that night? How nice is that today?
Seems like maybe you're reading a little much into that.
I wish I could read, sir, but I'm not. I'm blind. That's what the average blind guy is saying.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No, I'm just playing the role of a blind guy there for a second.
I got
to make you try to explain to you how it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering why you're wearing the glasses if you're a blind guy.
Well,
that
they
would
could
make
be
any
dark
sense,
glasses, couldn't they? A lot of blind people wear dark glasses. Don't try to outsmart me, Mr. Radio Personality. So The Reader is very upsetting to blind folks.
Okay.
They should have an equal film for them just called The Feeler. Just somebody who's got the braille bumps going and he's touching those.
All right. That's going to be the porn version I hope that Kate Winslet makes after this one.
How about The Curious Case of Benjamin Button?
Well, how about it?
Well, now that's based on a famous F. Scott Fitzgerald story. No one has any complaints about that.
And it is not fair to people who prefer zippers, my friend. What about those of us who like to zip?
It's the guy's last name, Ed.
How about The Curious Case of Zachary Zipper? Where's that film?
That's not the character's name, though. That doesn't make any sense.
And he's a curious case. Listen, I grew up being called a curious case, and I am not gay, and I don't think this Benjamin Button is either.
What are you talking about?
You know, a closet case, a head case, all these curious cases. We don't need any more of that kind of discrimination. How about Milk, this movie Milk?
It's a guy's name.
I am lactose intolerant, and I find it personally offensive that a film named Milk is being held up for such acclaim and so many awards.
It's a real guy's last name.
Just the name alone gives me the squirts.
It's a movie. Do you even know what the movie's about a famous San Francisco politician?
I do not care to know, sir. I do not care to know. All I know is that Milk does not do a body good in this particular case.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a personal problem. I don't think that you should hold that against the movie.
There are movies out in the theaters right now looking this weekend at the horrible, horrible, offensive movies that are in the box office top 10 this weekend.
Like what?
How about this My Bloody Valentine?
Yes.
Why
it's a horror
movie.
Why did
you pick on a poor girl because once a month she has a cycle?
Oh.
Why are you discriminating against poor women just because they get their monthly visitor?
You need to watch some of these.
When Aunt Flo comes a knocking, don't come a rocking.
All right.
Two emails that we received repeatedly over the weekend. One is, please, guys, don't Twitter. That was number one that we got. Don't Twitter. Don't waste my time with Twitter. So we took care of that. Two is, hey, I hear the Coachella announcement is coming soon. What can you tell me? To which I reply, We kind of announce that stuff on the radio the minute it becomes available. So I would say your best bet is to keep checking out KROQ.com for it on the internet, or listen to KROQ Radio to hear the announcement. And I understand, Kevin, that it looks like tomorrow we will have Coachella news for you.
We are going to have Coachella news for you tomorrow. I can give a few band names that I've heard. I don't know. Just as a few things. It's not confirmed.
Okay.
Well, as long as you say it's not confirmed, because I know there's a ton of rumors going around. I mean, I've heard, you know, Britney Spears is appearing at Coachella this year, for instance. I've heard that one floating around. In the dance tent. I hesitate to give out too much that may not turn out to be true.
Oddly Catholic. I've heard that band is going to be playing there. I heard that. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Okay.
Ambiguous Genitals will be playing on Saturday night, I hear.
You can't promise the kids. You can't promise them Ambiguous Genitals if they're not playing.
Crusty Lip Track Horse, I believe they're playing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good band. I don't know if you've seen them or not.
You're going to have to wait till tomorrow.
Bud Hyman,
I believe he's playing. Listen.
I'm just telling people what I heard. That's all.
Well, let's wait until tomorrow for the action. Let's wait till we get the real information tomorrow. All right. It's 8:22 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We were talking about her a few minutes ago, and now we've got her on the phone. The film is called The Uninvited. It opens up everywhere on Friday. One of our very favorite actresses here on the Kevin and Bean Show, with a return visit on the program. Please welcome Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
What's up, girlfriend?
Oh, I'm great. I'm excited for people to see The Uninvited.
Yeah, you look scary in this one. You look bad.
Oh, yeah. I had so much fun playing bad, you know, just playing evil.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
They were actually more like slugs.
Right.
And yes, in that movie, I played Starla Grant. My husband gets infected by an alien who is trying to then infect the rest of the world.
That old Tiger plot line. Yeah.
So you were the terrified in that movie, and in this one, you're the terrifier.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a little bit of opposites here. So now I play evil. I base this character a little bit on Rebecca De Mornay in Hand the Rock at the Cradle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She was
like
so great.
It's like of Glenn Close from Fatal Attraction. I really want people to believe I could be a bunny boiler.
Yes. That's what all women want.
Mm-hmm. Are you the type of woman who enjoys a good horror movie?
I do. I love them. I think they're like a really fun roller coaster ride. You know, when I get on a roller coaster, my instinct is like, my gut gets really like torn up, but then I start giggling. Like I ride the entire roller coaster laughing, my head off, and I think it's because that response is like really close to just crying.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I do too. I've had that.
So
before.
It's just some kind of random emotion.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's to me, watching a good horror movie is like that. It's like, you know, that pit in your stomach, but you're kind of laughing. You're just having a thrill. It's just thrilling to me.
Now, in this movie, you play a nurse, a private nurse, right?
Yeah, but I'm basically the evil stepmother. I mean, if you had to categorize the character.
Evil stepmother. All right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you basically may or may not be involved in the teenager's mom dying, because now you're hooked up with her husband.
Correct, yeah.
Gotcha.
I was the nurse to their sick mom for a little bit, and then she mysteriously dies.
Happens. You know how that happens. How does Rachel, your character, how does she inflict terror on the family? What does she do?
You know, it's a lot of slow builds. You know, it's a lot of this girl. One of the daughters comes back from a mental institution, as one does. And
sure.
So, you know, you never know which one of them is crazy. It's sort of a battle of wills. You know, it's sometimes you think she's crazy, and sometimes you think the stepmom's crazy, and sometimes the dad's in on it. And so it's really one of those movies where you're just not sure what anyone's motives are.
Except for it's hinted very strongly that you're bad, that you're not good.
It's hinted very strongly
that it's stepmom.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, and that daughters are kind of coming across clues and finding out.
Yeah. It's a fun. It's a movie. One of those movies where you're piecing it together the entire time, and then it's got a great twist at the end.
Ooh, I love the twist.
I think I don't know if you remember, Elizabeth, last time we had John, but we're trying very hard to get movie clips played on the radio. We think that's the future. We really think that's how you best enjoy hearing about a new movie.
Sure.
So I do think we have a clip from Elizabeth Banks in the movie. Again, it's called The Uninvited. It opens up this Friday. Let's have a listen.
What are you looking for, Anna? Is it these, or are you looking for these?
I know, Rachel. You caught me. Here.
Anna!
I don't want to hurt you.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That is not Zach and Mary Make a Porno, I'll tell you that. Although some of the sound effects, it could be. I don't know.
No, that actually is some good girl-on-girl action, though, because we get into a big fight scene just then.
That's why we like you.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Hey, did you do some super physical stuff where you, like, could have got hurt or something, Elizabeth?
Yeah, in fact, I did. I ended up with ice packs wrapped around both of my arms for it. Just after what you just heard, that clip, we do get into a huge fight, and I started bruising and sort of swelling up, so
excellent.
In order to keep going, you know, soldier on, I just wrapped him up in ice, and then we kept going. But
you know, they have they have people now named stuntmen, and they'll step in and do the fight scene for you.
I know, but it's so fun to do it yourself.
Well, the movie looks very scary. It comes out on Friday, and you're on such a roll. I know we talked to you back during Zach and Mary and the W movie, and we're in Role Models, of course, and we're so excited to see you back on the big screen this Friday. It is called The Uninvited. Elizabeth, you have an open invitation. Anytime you have time to be on The Kevin and Bean Show, we love talking to you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'd like the opportunity to redo my interview with Elizabeth Banks. Revisit maybe the Slither question.
I was very confused.
Where are you going with this? I wanted to be the judge and go, I'm sorry, I need to know where you're going with this before we continue questioning.
All right, I may have botched that, but why punish me by making me talk to the Armenian comedian now?
Why is he on the phone?
What can he possibly have to say to us?
Here's the thing about the Armenian comedian. We discovered him a long, long, long time ago, and he is the bad singers on American Idol who are convinced that the talent is endless, and that no one else can see it.
Yeah.
And that's what we love about him.
But he goes so far beyond that because he's not just an entertainer. Sam thinks he is an expert on everything in the world. He thinks he knows how to run the world. He thinks he knows how to run your life.
He thinks he
has inventions that will save humanity. The guy is endless, and none of it is true or accurate.
All right, let's say, Sam?
Yeah?
Hey, tell us, you invented a new way to smoke pot. Is that correct?
Could you do first of all,
Put bean in the basement.
Well, hang on, Sam. Let's find out if I'm wrong or not, because this is a perfect example of what I mean. This is like the time you told us, guys, I have to come on the air because I've discovered a cure for AIDS. You know what? You hadn't discovered a cure for AIDS. You're crazy.
I'm discovering what?
Sam, please destroy him with your invention of a new way to smoke pot.
You know what? First of all, they should legalize pot so rejuvenate the economy of the...
Okay. Hey, Sam, new way to smoke pot. What is it?
Yeah.
New way to smoke it.
This is what you told us, is that you had a new way because clearly people have had a lot of trouble figuring out how to smoke pot because the way we've been doing it for 4,000 years isn't sufficient for you. So what do you got?
All you have to do is roll a joint with two papers zigzag, and then you will have the best high you ever had. Huh? Forget bong loads, forget all these other...
So you're saying rolling papers. That's your invention for a new way to smoke pot.
Not one, Kevin, two.
Two.
Two makes all the difference?
Two papers, not one.
Okay. All right, there you go, Beans. Take it back, dude.
Sam, how is two papers better than one?
Because the papers, two of them will make the positive and negative attitude in your brain works it better because two papers, it will burn better. You don't have to relight it and all that.
Sam, you don't have to explain this to us. Bean is a doubter, but we all see your genius.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Sam has smoked so much pot that he thinks he's really come up with an idea here.
That is an idea, Bean. Roll it with two pieces of paper. It's exceptional. You don't know anything.
God damn you to hell, Sam.
All right, Sam. Yes. Is it true that you went down on your own time and without us asking you to, and you interviewed Miss Double December, Cassandra?
I interviewed Cassandra.
Yes. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you do that?
Why? Because it's like a little publicity for me. And guess what? I was yesterday invited to to go, not yesterday, Saturday night, I went to see Double December in Huntington Beach, in Black Ball Chopper. You know Kristen, the Double December?
Kristen Miss Double December? No.
Yeah, 2004. 2004.
Oh, 2004, okay.
Christy.
We've never had, never had a oh, Christy. Okay, so you went to see another Miss Double December this weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
She was very much interested to do a photo shooting with me. And then I told her, yes, why don't you email K-Rock and then let's do it.
Okay, hold on. Sam, hold on 1 second. We were told that you went and did an interview with Miss Double December 2009, Cassandra. Did that happen, and what are you going to use the interview for?
I didn't meet her yet.
You didn't meet her yet? Okay, no. So that has not happened.
I apologize. I was confused. Sam called me and told me about this on his way down there on Saturday and said, I'm going to do an interview with Miss Double December. I just automatically assumed he meant
2004.
This I apologize. I was not told 2004.
Okay.
So, that's my fault.
So 2004. Okay. So what are you doing going down and doing an interview with Miss Double December 2004?
She was her birthday, and then she emailed me herself. And then
right, but what are you doing with an interview, Sam? What can you? You don't have a radio show or a TV show. What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to make sure make more websites. And make more movies, you know. I'm doing the Ding Dong Show again every Monday night.
Okay, but we didn't ask you to go interview.
Hello, I'm interviewing people, the black folks, about the new president.
Great. Hey, Sam.
I already put a lot of machine on the answering machine of Lightning and Afro Machine.
So you're doing interviews and then leaving them on the Afro line?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you
all right.
Let me ask one question, Sam, because this is very, very important. This is the crux of the issue. Are you telling people that we sent you or that you're working for our show?
I don't work for the show.
I know that. Are you telling people that you do?
No, you are part of my life. That's it.
Sam, one more thing. Lightning says that you called him 16 times this weekend, starting at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, for instance. Why do you call so many people so often and so early?
Because once I get the idea in my head, and then I have a person in front of me, I don't care what time is it, I just do my show. That's what I'm about.
What do you mean you do your show? You don't have a show.
I do my own. I'm just having my own life.
Who right.
But like you called Psycho Mike this morning at 7:30, and yes. You know that he's working. You know that he can't pick up the phone and talk to you. What's the point of calling him at 7:30 in the morning?
I make sure that they will put my interviews on the air. So
the ones that we didn't ask you to get?
I did a lot of interviews on Afro Machine. And okay. On the Lightning Machine, so you should put on the air.
And we will. You're doing good work, Sam.
All right, we're going to ask Omar to check the Afro line and see if we can find any of your interviews. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's something in there we can do with, you know? Maybe we can use it.
Also, I did a lot of lip singing, a lot of songs and all that. And also, I have a cure for
you. Wait a minute. You did lip syncing on the Afro line?
Yes.
On the phone?
Isn't that a visual, Sam? Isn't lip-syncing a visual?
It's original.
That's what Kevin was saying. It's original,
it's
right.
It's original, right.
All right. We're out of time, Sam. Do you have
a... One more thing.
Yes.
I have a cure for back pain, which is a magnetic bracelet on your wrist. It will cure all the back pain.
There you go. Magnetic bracelet on your wrist will cure your back pain.
A lot of people have been selling these. It's a big, giant ripoff. It doesn't work. People have been selling them for decades, Sam. It's not your idea.
No, it's not my idea. It is an idea that I want to pass on that it worked on me. It worked on me.
All right.
Sam, is there a website or anything like that you have that people can see your stuff or hear your stuff?
Yes, I have the barnhigh.com.
Sorry, we didn't catch that, and we're out of time. Sam, the Armenian comedian, unfortunately, on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
That was A Moment with Me.
Wow.
Oh, no, I saw the movie, but it was so long ago, I don't know what stuff you did.
No,
by the way, you didn't see Slither.
I did see Slither.
I don't think you did either.
No way.
I did see Slither.
No way.
With your freakish steel trap type memory, if you saw Slither, you'd know exactly who she was and what she did in Slither.
I did not remember. Wasn't Slither the one with... Oh, so now I'm going to dig myself. I could dig myself even deeper. There's some super hot actress that we have on sometimes whose husband was the director of that movie, and she was in Slither also. Is that the one I'm thinking about, Ralph? Is that the movie that I'm thinking about? You know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. No, yeah. I need to do some research. But
almost, you sound well prepared for the interview.
It's almost positive that that's what I'm thinking of.
What stuff did you do in Slither?
Which, by the way, was like 10 movies ago for her.
I know it was.
Like, but what role did you play? What stuff did you do?
My point was, I was trying to establish if it was similar. Was she an evil person like she is in this new Uninvited movie? Or was she a victim in the Slither movie?
Which How does it feel to be me, mother effer?
I don't know how you
Slither's
have the courage to come in every day.
Were giant slugs, who were alien right. slugs. We're talking. You thought maybe she was playing one of the evil slugs in that movie?
No, I thought maybe she released them.
Was the villain in that?
Maybe she released them. She tried to kill people with them. She was like an evil mastermind who was inflicting them on the world.
She was a door-to-door Slither salesman. That's what she did. She would inflict them upon unsuspecting housewives.
Can we hear that again?
Would you mind hearing that again?
Oh, feel free. Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
That was A Moment with Bean.
What stuff did you do in Slither?
I got to tell you, it's rare that somebody who's doing an interview that wants to promote their thing will turn on you and mock you, but when it happens, it's awesome.
This is the reason actors hate to do interviews.
Yep. I don't
She's going to tell her friends, she goes, I was doing this radio show today, and the dude asks me, what stuff did I do in Slither? Have you ever heard a more asinine question?
That's true. Is it possible that that was a movie that was directed by Jenna Fisher's husband at the time? And that,
dude, how do we know what you're talking about? Listen, just take your...
That's how I know that I saw the movie.
Take 30 seconds and IMDb it or Google it or whatever you need to do. And we'll just carry on.
I didn't have time to do that while I was on the phone with Elizabeth.
Do it now so you stop asking dumb Slither questions. And we'll just carry on. And when you can catch up when you're done.
Time for a Ralph Showbiz beat.
Wow.
Yeah.
As we do every Monday morning, we look at the top 10 box office winners. Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Winner.
$21.5 million it made this week, and in addition to the, I don't know, $50 million it made last week.
Wow. Has it reached 100 yet?
And might I add, ching!
It's got to be.
Getting close to 100 million?
It's got to be close.
That's awesome. Crazy.
Damn. What more jobs can we find for Paul Blart now? And you know what's coming, the sequel.
Of course.
Paul Blart. Air Marshal or something. They'll put him on a plane or do something hideous with him.
He's going to be fat.
He sure is. That's a guarantee.
Yep.
If Kevin James lost weight, he would be out of a career. Completely out of a career. No way that dude's funny if he's skinny. No way. Doesn't happen. Underworld, Rise of the Lycans was number two at the box office, $20.7 million. Then Gran Torino, Hotel for Dogs, and Slumdog Millionaire, your top five. Followed by Mighty Bloody Valentine in 3D. I heard some guy talking to your show and tell me what that was about. I had no idea that it was about
I was disturbed by his representation of that movie. That's
incorrect.
Sure.
Inkheart, Bride Wars, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Notorious.
Don't you have to follow that up with the actual word?
Torious.
Yeah.
Don't you have to do that much at least?
You have to at least say Torious so people know what you're saying. Can I do nothing to make you people happy
correct.
Today?
No. Today... Don't limit yourself. Notorious number 10 at the box office this weekend. Interesting Grammy news. Just updated today. Radiohead will be joining the performing lineup for the Grammy Awards.
Oh,
how about
that? February 8th is the Grammy Awards here in Los Angeles, and Radiohead will be performing. Here's the list. This is what we got. We got Radiohead. Katy Perry is going to be performing live.
Good. Ooh.
Lil Wayne. Carrie Underwood. Coldplay. And just added...
Kevin, you're not going to know how to feel about this. Paul McCartney will be performing.
Oh, I know how to feel about that.
With Dave Grohl.
Oh,
see now what I'm you saying?
Don't. Now yeah. you're touring. Oh. Therein lies the problem.
Two of them will be performing together.
Oh.
Which I think will be pretty cool.
Dave Grohl is not going to be happy until he has performed with all of his childhood heroes. You see him out there with The Who and Zeppelin and now Paul McCartney.
Tom Petty. He's jammed with Tom Petty
yeah.
before.
Yeah. That's right.
Hmm. Cool stuff. Last night, the 15th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards were given out. And no surprises, really, last night. Paul
Slither
Giamatti,
pretty much clean up.
Slither was not nominated.
Oh.
Although didn't win, but it was nominated for Best Stuff Award.
I hope Elizabeth Banks won an award for Best Stuff.
What stuff did you do in Slither?
God. What's the best?
Paul Giamatti and Laura Linney won for John Adams. Sally Field won for Best Actress in a Drama Series for Brothers and Sisters.
What are you talking about?
I know. Best Ensemble for a Drama Series was the cast of Mad Men. Best Ensemble for a Comedy Series was 30 Rock. 30 Rock did very well for itself, also nabbing a Best Actor and Actress Award for Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin. And Hugh Laurie, best one for a Best Actor, excuse me, in a Drama Series. So congratulations.
That guy.
Hey!
What do you need him for?
My hero, Hugh Laurie. Heath Ledger. Also won for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama for his performance as the Joker.
I don't think you want to be in that category with him because it's kind of a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. It was nice, though, because his co-star from the film, Gary Oldman, who played Commissioner Gordon in the movies, got up and accepted for him and gave a heartfelt, touching speech. So it was nice to see. Amy Winehouse, still enjoying her vacation in the Caribbean. Still staying at that resort. Her boss seems a little concerned now.
It's been three months
she's been down there.
3 months.
The commercial director for Universal Records apparently is going to take a little trip down to the Caribbean and have a conversation with Amy. Because, as he says, there seems to be no solid plan for her to ever return to work. And I'm guessing the record company would like her to make another record.
I'm guessing so as well. She's got to be going into debt at some point, doesn't she?
Yes. Reports have been surfacing she's spending tens of thousands of dollars on bar tabs.
Yeah.
Buying drinks for everyone at the resort. I might head down there this weekend.
Yeah.
I might take a vacation. She's like Kevin in Vegas. You never have to buy a drink when Kevin's drinking because he has no idea how many he's buying or for whom.
Dare you.
It's the best.
You definitely want to have an album or two in the can so you can Tupac her after her eventual overdose later this year.
Right. You will want some posthumous releases. Apparently, he is under strict orders from Universal Records, this Brian Rose, the commercial director, to have a conversation with Amy, too, and I quote, drive some common sense into her. You could have a chisel and a sledgehammer and not be able to drive anything into that skull.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. What's up, Gene?
How are you, Ralph?
Good. What's going on there, Gino?
I was just curious, Lisa May, how do you drive something into a woman?
You don't know?
I would like you to tell me.
Okay, Gene.
All right, thank you, Gene.
Go away.
Damn it.
Didn't come out quite the way you hoped, did it?
That's
what she said.
What do you do? What do you do with stuff?
In Slither. Now,
that's a legitimate question.
Speaking of slithering, Lisa May.
And all, sad news. Sad news.
Uh-oh.
Lauren Conrad may be leaving the cast of The Hills.
Don't you say that.
Oh, my God!
Don't you say that.
Yeah. Apparently, LC has expressed desire to leave the show. But up until now, MTV has always found a way to lure the girls back in. But looks like Lauren is committed to the show ending, if not that, at least leaving. So she will no longer.
No! God! No! God! Please, no! No!
I know.
No!
I know. It's horrible.
No!
I'm sorry. Nothing I can do about it. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Sarah Rue is 30 years old today. Hockey legend Wayne Gretzky turns 48. Now he's coaching the Arizona Cardinals, I heard.
Not the Cardinals.
Dude is playing football.
Phoenix Coyotes.
Phoenix Coyotes.
He's not. He's remarkable. Doesn't have anything to do with the Cardinals.
What kind of stuff you do with the Coyotes, great one? He's 48 years old today. Ellen DeGeneres is 51, and legendary guitarist Eddie Van Halen turns 54. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to our special guest, Elizabeth Banks, for joining us today.
What kind of stuff do you do in this new movie?
Slither was written and directed by a young man named James Gunn, who was, in fact, married to Jenna Fisher. And that's why I went to see it, is because Jenna Fisher I love, and she had a very small role in Slither. So I did
see
the movie.
Elizabeth Banks did what?
She was a slug. She played one of the slugs in the movie, and that's what confused me.
She was a bad slug.
You can go see her playing a human in The Uninvited. That opens everywhere on Friday. Thanks to the beautiful Elizabeth Banks.
This afternoon at 5 o'clock, Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde, we're going to tell you about the White House and all the computer problems that they seem to be having. They are in the dark ages when it comes to the computers.
That's amazing.
Couldn't get email working, nothing.
That seems bad.
This happens with every administration, and I think the problem is that they can't have 1,000 employees walk through the White House the week before the inauguration and learn how stuff works. So they're just kind of on their own to figure it out. They don't have passwords to get onto computers or anything.
Barack Obama should listen to Lisa's commercials. She could get him up to speed with all her computer needs.
You're right.
So that's afternoon at 5, and then tomorrow morning we have Liam Neeson talking about Taken. We have Coachella announcement, and we're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Great.
That's all tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, but don't go anywhere because Kat Corbett is next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. I wonder what kind of stuff Kat is going to be doing on her show today.
What kind of stuff do you do on your show, Kat Corbett?
I know she'll be playing the new one from Weezer, also the Bravery.
She's not Leon.
Should all listen. Next on the World Famous K-Rock.
Green Day, MGMT, and more after this.